Radio's dirty little secret. And it's all legal.
Down, baby.
Who the hell is this?
Alan, you have been described by your enemies as evil, insane, manipulative. Who are you?
To examine it would be to, like, demystify it.
You gotta pick it with a tasty group, okay?
Wow.
It
definitely makes me cringe.
Very, very, very painful.
One, two, three, pick it. Pick it. Come on. God damn it. Could you one time pick it? What the f***?
You're disgusting.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7.
You ignorant trick bastard.
WMMS.
Cleveland.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good afternoon. Hi there. Greetings from us to you, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends. I'm Alan. Thank you for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show, titled Boonecock Saints. No, Boonecock Taints. That's where it's
you
at.
You needed another level to it.
Yeah.
Another layer.
So happy St. Patrick's Day. I hope to see you guys all out on Sunday. I got my green Indians hat. It is an Indians hat, not a Celtics hat, by the way. And Grandma says hi.
Well, does a Celtics hat have a big C on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar.
I thought everything in Boston had a big B on it.
Well, people think it's a Celtics hat.
I see. Because it's Kelly Green?
Yeah.
Hey, Mary Santora is here, too.
Hi, guys. No babies. I have a turquoise-ish shirt on. I don't know if that counts for St. Patrick's Day, but...
It's close enough.
Yeah. It's more blue.
Sure. I don't have any green on today, so...
You blew it.
You gotta let your thing do your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say hi to Pound Cake, who's right over there, too.
Afternoon, white people. Happy Friday.
You've been training for the 5K, Pound Cake?
No.
Do you feel confident?
No.
No.
Me, him, and Dude, you're just going to be the misfits in the back.
Like,
it's fine.
I'm just going to take a shortcut. Like, I'm going to skip over some buildings or something.
You could do one of those... Didn't we just talk about somebody, like, Johnny Manziel's girlfriend allegedly cheated in a marathon or something?
Funny. Yes, but I'm
telling taking you... He's taking his cues from Manziel's girlfriend.
Yeah, but
wife,
she's not honest about it. I'm telling you I'm going to cheat.
But you know you don't have to.
It's okay to cheat as long as you say it?
Be very self-aware and don't fool people. Like, if I get first place, you know I probably cheated. So don't give me first place.
You're taking the Felicity Huffman route. You're doing something you don't have to. You're unnecessarily complicating it. Just walk. You don't have to run. You have to race. You just walk, right?
I want people to think I look cool.
By cheating? Well, that guy looks cool.
Damn. He ran a 5K in 15 minutes.
He sure
did.
Wow, that's cool.
I always see him eating cheeseburgers, but apparently he gets first place in 5K.
Sure. How cool is that? Hey, if you want to join us today, 216-578-1007 or 800-348-1007. Send me a text if you like. The number is 35192. Dr. Ryan Berglund will join us later on. This afternoon for a new installment of Is It Red? He is a urologist from the Cleveland Clinic. I want to ask him about a condition I was reading about this morning that sounds absolutely awful.
Oh, I don't want to know.
I'm going to ask him about that. You know, and I'll read things from time to time that would fit into the context of Is It Red? I'll make myself little notes of things that I want to talk to him about as a bit of a palate cleanser. Between the calls and texts from listeners whose D's are rotting off because of some weekend fun they had. So he'll be in later on if you have questions for him.
Do you ever just get itchy when he comes in? Like,
oh, yeah, I get so uncomfortable sometimes.
Really?
Yes, because he's talking about things that are a lot of times preventable. And a
just
lot of
wear
times
a condom,
just,
usually,
but
right?
Sometimes very common.
Very common, or just like, yeah, they. I mean... Talk about people that are in a lot of pain, and you get that sympathy pain. and it makes you uncomfortable.
He'll talk about a condition. I just start looking at my arm. I'm like, what's this? Ow!
I'm itchy. Sometimes my arms are itchy.
I make sure.
You become a hypochondriac when he's in here?
Yes, right. Every time he's like, comes up the elevator and I see him, I'm like, Doc, okay, I just need you to check this real quick. He's like, it's normal. I'm like, okay.
All right, we're good.
Making sure.
This mole right here, does this look?
And you realize he's not a dermatologist, right? If you're showing him something on your arm, not really. He is a doctor, but not really his wheelhouse.
I'm just pointing. I'm like, normal? Yeah.
Again, perfect. Normal. His area of expertise is right there in the strike zone. So if you're okay there, you're okay.
He has general, like, studies.
General studies. No, that's what I'm saying. He is a doctor, of course, but his area of expertise, and he said it before. Well, somebody will ask him a question that's, you know, a bit outside his wheelhouse, and he'll go, well, I have a colleague who does that. You should talk to him, you know, whatever. But just like a dermatologist would probably, you know, you'd be like, oh, I'm having some kidney pains, Doc. He's like, I'm a dermatologist. I mean, it's on the outside. If I can see it, you're good.
Dr. B, I'm constipated. Is that normal? Is that like a form of STD? No, it's normal.
Can you imagine if there was an STD that made you constipated?
Oh, that's a nightmare.
That's the worst symptom, like, because you don't know where it's coming from.
Sexually transmitted diarrhea, but just the opposite. Oof. You got one of the two. You're either constipated or sexually transmitted diarrhea.
That's
Think about
the worst.
That.
Constimidia.
Constimidia.
That's right.
Blech.
Today's buzzard day. Somebody's tweeting about that. I assume they mean the bird, but people were tweeting us over a buzzard day, whatever that is.
Happy buzzard day.
Metro Parks are very excited about it because they've got some buzzards.
Well, why are they?
As the name implies, they're watching buzzards, and they that's very exciting. Out at the Hinckley Reservation. I don't know where that is. I assume Hinckley.
Yeah.
But
nailed it.
But I don't. But within the friendly confines of Hinckley, Ohio, I don't know where the reservation is. But apparently, they've got buzzards.
They do have buzzards. And they have big nests.
People
out there.
Are excited.
And
where's Hinckley?
Hinckley is
like south.
It's south of here, but it's
everything it's is south
in,
of here
in Medina.
In Medina, okay.
So it's probably I would say north. East side of Medina.
What do they have? The ledges.
It's like Brunswick, right? And then Hinckley.
Nelson ledges.
Hinckley's next to Brunswick.
What do they have in Hinckley?
Yeah, then
ledges.
Whips ledges.
Whips ledges. I've been there.
How many ledges are out here?
There's a Nelson's ledges.
Yeah.
There's a Whips ledges.
Uh huh.
And Hinckley has like a really cool park and like some.
Yeah, they have
like
a big old metro park.
Yeah, that's awesome.
With a big old path, and you can go walk through and look at the buzzards.
And these are geographic. They're literal ledges.
Yeah, you can climb them. I went there probably in like eighth grade with a group of friends, and we went and spent a day there on a weekend.
Wow.
I used to go there all the time, yeah.
Playing in the water.
Huh.
Streams, it's a stream.
I've heard of Nelson's ledges, but I've never been out there. Never heard of Whips ledges.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, actually.
It's really pretty, yeah.
I didn't know that the area was so robust with ledges.
Well, what are you doing? What are you doing all the time?
I'm doing this show.
You're not exploring.
I'm not hanging on ledges.
Your city, Alan? And its surrounding areas?
Where you said it's out in Hinckley.
Yeah, surrounding areas of Cleveland.
Oh.
It's worth the trip.
I gotta work and I go home.
Take the kid out there. She'll love it. In the summertime, it's beautiful.
Uh huh.
And then there's areas, like a little. All kinds of stuff.
There's a little picnic area, like she was saying, and then there's also a lake there, and you can go out on a paddle boat with the kid.
Oh.
And she'll have a good time with that.
Oh.
Right there near Bath.
Yeah, okay. Out by the old Dahmer house?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. They have a waterfall and things, I assume, right?
Yeah.
If there's ledges and running water, there's probably a waterfall.
There is a waterfall. It's the, what is it called? The Hinckley, it's overflow fill or something like that.
The Hinckley overflow? It's not called a glory hole, is it? I was watching a story about a glory hole. A duck got caught in a glory hole.
Aww.
Some overfill and... Hinckley Overflow, I think that's a jam band that's playing Brothers Lounge this weekend. Yeah.
Hinckley Overflow.
They do the best hits of King Crimson and Jeff Beck.
Yeah, I can't remember what.
Well, anyway, for people who live out Hinckley way, you probably already know that you've got a plethora of ledges out there, but I'd never heard of any of that before.
I'm going to start doing more stuff like that. I feel like
going to Legends.
You're going to have to.
There's a I know. I've got so much time on my hands.
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff around here that's really cool. Like little things like that.
Yeah. You know? Wait. Now that you're not drinking, when did you become a tour guide? You're like, hey, I gotta go do stuff.
No, I'm saying I have to go and start doing stuff.
I know. You're looking.
Maybe I'll do that.
But that stuff's no fun sober. Like Nelson.
Sober Saturdays. That's what we'll do in the summertime, and we'll go to a different Cleveland area outdoor event.
You can't go to Nelson.
Do you think it's a good idea to be
sober? I want.
Do you think it's a good idea to be a drunk near a ledge?
People do it all the time.
I was young last time I was there.
But do you think it's smart? I didn't ask if people do it. Do you think it's smart to do that? To be drunk near a ledge.
Drunk near a ledge.
I don't know. Or a spillway.
Yeah, it's just the spillway is what it's called.
Yeah.
Hinkley Reservation.
Right.
Yeah, it's real pretty out there.
All right.
I grew up near there, so we go and walk that loop around the lake, and we were there camping all the time, and there's a great sledding hill over there. Good times.
Okay.
I like that area.
Alan, this is coming from someone who lived here how long and just went to the Cheese Barn? Thank you very much, Rob.
Okay,
exactly
first of
my
all,
point.
Cheese Barn's like an hour south.
Also, so she is lactose intolerant.
Yeah, and I'm lactose intolerant. What am I going to do at a Cheese Barn?
All right, I'm ledge intolerant.
You're
how do you like
tolerant?
That? Yes.
Yes, intolerant.
I'm ledge incurious. How about that? I have sexually transmitted diarrhea.
I can't go.
Not constipation, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, but listen, when I went to Grandpa's Cheese Barn, I didn't get cheese. They have like candy as far as they got a whole extra bungalow full of sweets.
I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that.
Never
it's
went for the gummy worms?
It's called a Cheese Barn.
They got cheesecake.
Why would I think that there would be candy there?
Because a business cannot live on cheese alone.
You don't know that.
Mm. Or else they wouldn't have the trailer with the candy in it.
We ate a bunch of the meat.
Listen, where
pickled
else?
Pickled eggs.
Where else are you going to get gummy worms?
Nowhere. Literally
exactly.
Nowhere.
Exactly.
They are top-notch gummy bears. The Albanese.
Did we get those?
I got some for my
chocolate-covered something, pretzels or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
I do remember Bill and I ate an entire jar of pickled eggs in 2 days. Is what happened on that trip.
I ate one.
I ate an entire jar of pickled eggs in 2 days.
Just consider us your earbuds. Jesus, who writes this crap?
The Alan Cox Show.
On WMMS.
Send me a text. Monday, top of the show, I will have the full announcement for you for the 10th annual, possibly the final, Alan Cox Show Comedy Tour 2019. Tell you who's going to be there, tell you where it's going to be, tell you how you get tickets. I will actually start giving away tickets next week, too. So we'll make the announcement on Monday, and then you'll have a shot to get a pair each day next week before they go on sale. So if you want to get your mitts on some pre-sale tickets, we will do that. The Cavaliers lose last night in Orlando to the Magic. 120-91 was the final. They're off tonight. They'll play the Mavericks in Dallas tomorrow. It's an 8:30 tip, so 8 o'clock here in MMS is when all your pregame coverage will begin. I'm very curious, and I don't know if anybody has an answer to this, but why is there so much trade LeBron talk after just one bad season?
Because people need clicks.
No, but I mean people. But people who are on television and are saying like they might want to look into
because you have to talk
Jeannie
about LeBron.
Buss mentioned it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think they might have mentioned it in passing. Like I don't know, maybe we'll trade him. I don't know how serious that is, but you also have to go after every option when you're trying to turn around a franchise. They sign LeBron. If they know they're not going to get somebody else to come and play with LeBron, then he'll probably want out of there too.
I see.
So it just all depends.
So it's a matter of
they
brought him in and they
name,
want
yeah.
They want results immediately.
Of course.
With him on the team.
Yeah. I mean that's what you expect. When
right.
You bring in the best player in the game, you expect to win immediately. And
right.
You expect other people, other superstars to want to come and play with him, and that doesn't seem to be the case as of right now, but the rest of the season has to play out.
Yeah.
And it's a really disappointing thing for him to end his streak of going to 8 NBA finals in a row to not even making the playoffs this year.
Right.
It's a punch in the gut. So there's a lot of people that go, see, I told you LeBron's not as good as you thought he was. And so it starts those trade rumors.
But he can't even carry an entire team. Clearly. I mean, you know.
He carried the Cavs for years.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, but he had some good guys that were with him.
Right.
I mean, at the time.
Right.
You
but
know?
I mean, what there's not one player that can carry an entire terrible team.
Right.
Especially in a division or in the Western Conference where it's stacked.
Huh.
I mean, you have San Antonio is like an eighth seed, and they're a really, really good team.
So, and obviously this would just be pure speculation, but let's say they say we're going to trade him,
mm-hmm.
right? Every team would want him. Not every team could afford him, I imagine. But see, the guy goes, it's time to go. I did what I came to Cleveland to do. I want to go to L.A., right? Mm-hmm. My post-career is going to be producing and blah, blah. He wanted to go to L.A.,
yes,
right? Let's say they go, oh, the Oklahoma City Thunder got LeBron James.
That would actually be...
Guy's going to go to... Well, he play with what's-his-name. But
I mean, if he goes there, he has a chance to compete for a championship again, depending on who they give up. Like, if they give up Russell Westbrook and Paul George for him, then that's a crappy situation for him to be in. But if he teams up with those two guys, then that's a great situation for him to be in.
All right.
So seems it just like all depends, but I don't think he'll get traded. I think it's just one of those things where...
He doesn't want to live in Oklahoma City?
No, of course not.
Nothing going on in Oklahoma City.
But... He's, you know, I don't think he's in control of it. I think he could possibly, like, I'm talking less than a 1% chance he gets traded because someone's going to team up with him. Someone's going to end up there. Anthony Davis is going to end up on that team. They're going to get what they want out of it.
The Detroit Pistons. How about that? They got Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
You're just naming teams now.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying LeBron
interesting
clearly,
scenarios where he could go.
Right. LeBron clearly just wanted to go to Los Angeles. He's like, whatever. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, after one season, you think everybody would go, well, it's one season. Let's see.
One season,
I mean,
right,
yeah, whatever.
And I think a lot of people are doing that, and they knew going in. And the biggest thing with LeBron going to the Lakers was he went there and then basically said, get me another superstar. And then they had all these trade rumors about trading basically everybody on the team that was of worth, and they go, oh, cool, this guy doesn't even want to play with us. I'm not going to...
Why,
and it,
yeah,
and it wrecks
why
the
bend
locker
over backwards?
Room. Yeah. It just ruins the whole
Why does nobody
want to
play with him?
No, because of all the trade
because
rumors.
Because of all the trade rumors about him trying to orchestrate a trade to get Anthony Davis.
So, like, well, if he does, he's only going to be playing with me, I'm only going to be playing with him for the next 2 weeks anyway, or the next month anyway, then why invest my time in building a rapport and a relationship and everything?
I see.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's craziness. There was a huge, huge mosque shooting in New Zealand.
Oh,
50 people
that.
Dead.
So sad.
Huge. It is very sad. Three men, one woman. Let me try that again.
It's Friday.
Three men, one woman were the attackers. The Prime Minister of New Zealand had a press conference. They have a female Prime Minister. A woman running a country. You know, only a couple of weeks ago, John Oliver did a thing on New Zealand where New Zealand is unfortunately left off of a lot of maps. So New Zealand started this whole campaign to remind people, hey, we're out here.
Hi, here we are.
Or they'll be in a different place on a map or, the, you know, somewhere where they aren't. So it was kind of they've recently been in the news for trying to reassert themselves globally, that they're out there and they're a nice place to be. So obviously a story like this comes in direct contrast to that. And I think a lot of people consider New Zealand to be, you know, it's like Australia's cousin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know any. We have a couple of bureau chiefs, at least one in New Zealand, right?
I knew some kids from New Zealand when I was a missionary because we get quite a few missionaries from Australia and New Zealand. So I got to know them a little bit from that.
Didn't they film Lord of the Rings there?
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I know about New Zealand.
All right. We have somebody named Nigel who listens to the show.
Oh, that's right.
New Zealand, right?
Oh, yeah. New Zealand Nigel.
New Zealand Bureau Chief.
Watches on the chat, the live stream sometimes.
So, three men, one woman. One of them live streamed it on Facebook. By the way. And so police are asking people to stop sharing that video. So it must be out there somewhere. I haven't seen it.
I have no interest
in seeing that.
No.
And mind you, New Zealand is not a country with no guns. A lot of people have guns in New Zealand. So the whole good guy with a gun thing, I mean, you know, 50 people got killed in this thing. There are about 1.5 million guns in New Zealand, and New Zealand is not a big country.
There's about 1.5 million people.
Well, obviously, it's way less than America. I mean, we've got, like, you know, every man, woman, and child has two guns in this country, but statistically, rather. But in New Zealand, they have a lot of guns, you know, way more than Australia, which has a lot stricter gun laws. So now New Zealand is forced to re-examine their laws, or they're going to choose to do that. Here's the Prime Minister talking about this last night.
It is with extreme sadness that I tell you that as at 7 p.m. tonight, we believe that 40 people have lost their lives in this act of extreme violence. 10 have died at Linwood Avenue Mosque, 3 of which were outside the mosque itself. A further 30 have been killed at Dean's.
Sushi? What did 30? She say?
Further 30.
Yeah.
Boy, that accent.
It sounds like sushi. It definitely sounds like sushi, but.
I'm like, they killed the sushi. Huh. Is nothing sacred?
A further 30 have been killed at Dean's Avenue Mosque. There are also more than 20 seriously injured.
One of the guys, I guess, and again, I don't know the layout of these attackers. All I saw was 3 men, 1 woman, but one of the guys, they might have already positively identified or whatever, is Australian. And he was going to do this clearly, or obviously rather, this guy published this grand manifesto. Some 16,000 word manifesto, right? Dang. So he's Australian. He was going to do it there. And he just repaired to New Zealand to plan out the attack. And then looked around and was like, just do it here. Why am I going to go back home? I'll just do it in New Zealand. Because his point, he said, was that he wanted to show people that nowhere was safe. And it should also come as no shock to you, too, that in this manifesto, he said that he was inspired by America.
Of course.
That he said, what was his quote? He said that Donald Trump is a symbol of white identity.
Orange, actually.
So that's what we are, exporting to places like New Zealand.
These people, they didn't kill themselves. They're just still out there.
And the one guy I think is still out there. I don't know. I haven't really followed up on
that. It's just usually how these go. They kill everybody, then kill themselves, and then there's nothing you can do about it. But if they're still out there.
Yeah, I mean, some articles are talking about the one guy. There are others that, because I think it happened at 2 mosques, but there was something about a woman was involved. I'm sure there's a lot to piece together here. There's a lot of dead people and a lot of other things to piece together.
Who are currently in Christchurch A&E. It is clear that this can now only be described as a terrorist attack. From what we know, it does appear to have been well planned. We have undoubtedly experienced an attack today that is unprecedented, unlike anything that we have experienced before. But as I say, New Zealand has been chosen because we are not a place where violent extremism exists. We reject those notions and we must continue to reject them.
Reject.
It's a very strange accent.
This is not an enclave for that kind of behavior, for that kind of ideology. We will and must.
You know, I wonder if to people like us, we'd go, oh, Australia, New Zealand, same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'd hear them and you go, oh, where are you from, Australia? But I imagine if you're from New Zealand, you'd be very really upset pissed, about right? the
yeah,
fact
you're
that
you're from a different.
You're from. I wonder if it's like, you know, people go, oh, you're from Ohio. They go, no, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Same Midwest. Thing, you know. Yeah, same accent.
This new Hannah Gadsby special is not that good.
Is she a New Zealander?
I don't. It's just
rejected. Like, this is a place where people should feel secure.
And well, she said she wasn't interested in getting laughs, right?
Yeah.
She's the anti-comedian. And good thing, too. I didn't laugh once.
Mm-hmm.
And will feel secure. I am not going to let this change New Zealand's profile. None of us should.
So that's the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Talking about the thing. See, what a lot of these white supremacist dopes don't realize is that they're actually doing the work of the people that they're killing.
She's Australian.
Hannah Gadsby is?
They all sound, they sound very similar.
And why wouldn't you call your hour the Great Gadsby?
Right?
I mean. Anyway.
Maybe her next one.
That book's about a man, Alan.
Huh?
That book's about a man.
Is it?
Is it?
Have
that
you seen
kills
Hannah Gadsby?
A woman.
Spoiler. God, thanks, Bill. I didn't read it yet. It's on my nightstand. That was next. I just finished the Kids in the Hall book. I was going to read The Great Gatsby next. Now I'm going to tear it up and burn it.
You've only had 100
thanks.
Years.
Thanks. I know. Please. I'll just go right to the Bible. But, you know, they're doing the work. If you're going to shoot up a mosque. Huh?
Want me to sign it?
Yeah, please. On the cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, various sects of Muslims used to blow each other up. Sunnis and Shias, right? Used to be mosques were getting blown up by other Muslims. Because it was, you know, where certain Muslims would pray that the other group of Muslims didn't like. So, ironically, these white guys are kind of doing those people's jobs for them, or at least the way that it used to be. But he, a big fan of the United States and how we've really, you know, become professional white supremacists in this country. A 74-page manifesto, 16,000 words that he put on Twitter.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
One tweet at a time?
Hell of a thread.
That is a long...
Is that for real? One at a time.
They said he publicly posted a 74-page manifesto to Twitter and 8chan, which is doubly as annoying as 4chan.
Yeah.
If you've ever been on there. One of the people had been taken into the into custody. I guess maybe that guy they're talking about. But New Zealand police are asking people in general, hey,
in general?
We'd appreciate it. Doesn't work like that. We'd appreciate it if you would not share this video. Because as you might suspect, extraordinarily graphic. And
why do you want that on your heart? Why do you want to think about
Why do you want to see that?
I can't see videos like that. And it will ruin my entire day, and I'll think about it when I'm going, like, I'm trying to go to sleep at night. Mm-mm. Just like when people were sharing that, I think it was like the Easter Sunday.
The guy here in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, the guy here in Cleveland, the guy just walked up on him and shot him. Yeah.
Can't do it.
One person texted me that they have all four people. I don't know if that's true, but...
I thought there was three.
Three men, woman.
And a woman. And one woman, the person. Woman is a person.
Pound pink.
Okay.
Yeah. Alan went to New Zealand for a week and a half in 2017. It's an amazing place. So nice. Yeah. I mean, again, other than a very long plane ride, you know, friends of mine that have gone to Australia, they're like, once I got off the plane, I wanted to sleep for a week.
I was talking to a comedian in Australia about, Will Anderson. You guys know him. That's actually how I met him, was from our first...
He headlined the comedy tour the first
year that I did it. Yeah. He and I were going back and forth about maybe coming out there for to do some shows and stuff. But he said, he's like, if you're not going to take a month to be here...
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
He's a single man.
It's fine.
He's all right. I'm just checking.
This is purely business. And... he was saying that if you're not going to take a minimum of like 3 weeks, it's not even worth doing it because it is such a long flight. And then it takes your body like 3 or 4 days just to adjust to the time. So then he's like, if you're only here for 10 days, you really only have like 3 full days. And then it's like 2 days back on a plane and then you're adjusting to your schedule again.
It takes 2 days.
Yeah. It takes 19, 20 hours, something like that.
When I went to Hawaii, that's only 6 hours behind. And it probably took 3 full days because I was waking up at 7 in the morning there, which would be 1 p.m. our time. And your body is just so out of whack because your body thinks it's 1 p.m., but it's actually only 7 a.m. So then you're up all day and night. By the time it's midnight in Hawaii, it's 6 a.m. at home. So your body's just, it can't adjust. And Australia,
I can't even,
like,
adjust to all the numbers you're throwing out there.
That's what I'm saying.
My brain can't adjust to the conversation.
Australia is like you switch the a.m. p.m. and add 4 hours, I think. It's something like that. So if it's 3 p.m. here, it's 7 a.m. there.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was in the Philippines, it was 12 hours difference, depending on whether or not it was daylight savings or not. But I had no problem adjusting, but I guess I'm just a stronger person.
Is that what it is? It wasn't all the Filipinas.
Clearly,
you were chasing around.
I'm just a stronger person. Yeah, right.
All the strip clubs and women, and no, that'll, I mean, keep you excited, like, and up for days at a time.
No, but I mean, I was there for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's different, too. You don't tell me your first couple days
were there. You were there for though. 2 years?
Yes.
I was thinking you were just there for like a summer.
No.
2 years.
2 years, yes.
No, that's wonder a long you time. Wanted to get out of the faith.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to get out of the faith before I even went, but
2 years.
Yeah.
At least it was like a vacation. Like, you
no,
that was not a vacation.
He was teaching
He's
people
knocking
the word.
On people's doors. Have you heard the good word?
Yeah,
and they're, oh, my God.
Toward the end, though, he made it like a vacation.
Once
for like
up.
A few months, yeah.
He's arguing over how much he's going to pay for bananas.
Gosh, I would just look at it. I would just want to join the Mormon church just so I could be a missionary. And the
no, you have to pay for it.
Oh, you have to pay for it? I thought you just could get a trip for free. I thought the church pays for it.
What church gives you money? They all want money from you.
Yes,
they don't give you money.
But they use you as a recruiter. So I thought
they
were like
investing.
Yeah, you got to
pay for it.
Oh,
it's
that.
Tithing.
Did they put you up? Like, did they give
you...
Yeah,
they give you lodging and stuff like that.
Food, but everything else, you have to get yourself there, and then while you're there, you pay for everything? Because you don't have a
job. I pay for my food. Like, they give you, like, a small stipend every month, and then my parents would send me a little extra money to make sure that I could, you know, survive and not, like, want for things. But it was,
you weren't living in luxury.
I didn't pay for it. My parents paid for it because I didn't want to go.
Right.
So they're like, did you save up any money? I'm like, no. So,
I don't even want to do this.
I didn't want to do this, but I couldn't tell them that because I was terrified.
What's the monetary unit?
They're pesos.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's like, then it was about I say like $1 was worth like 30 pesos or something like that. May 15th.
Dang.
I just know from my joke it was 30. What is it? How do I say?
You didn't even know your own joke.
How does my joke go?
It was a long
30,
time ago.
3,000 pesos is like $15.
Uh huh.
So.
Right now it's 1 to 19.
Yeah.
Point yeah, okay. Two. Well, there you go. Hey, that guy in Ohio who's only drinking beer for Lent, has already lost 16 pounds.
Nice.
Well, he's on a liquid diet.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, you know, yeah.
You're saying nice. Women take note.
Women take note. Just
he's
drink
just
beer.
Constantly if you, yeah. in a state of hammered or hungover.
Yeah.
Like, you're not
and
eating
your
anything.
Point. Any liquid diet will do that. He drinks 2 to 5 beers a day. He said days 2 and 3 were hard, but he's been doing it since the beginning of Lent, and he's lost 16 pounds.
Yeah, good
so
for
a
him.
Lot of folks have been asking me how many beers I'm having a day. So I'm having anywhere from 2 to 5 beers a day. You know, a typical day. I'm not necessarily drinking in the morning. I'm not a breakfast person. I don't normally just eat breakfast in the morning. I get up, I have some water, I have a black coffee, you know, no sweetener, no dairy, nothing in it, just black coffee every day. And I normally have my first beer sometime in the afternoon.
Thought he was only drinking beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these are like no calorie. There's nothing to them. Black coffee and water have nothing else in them.
Well, it's not about nutrition. Mm-hmm. He just happens to have lost 16 pounds. He said he was only drinking beer.
I think that you can cut him some slack on water.
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee is, I mean, it's the same, it's a nothing.
Same as what?
It doesn't
water?
Do
it's bean water.
It's bean water, yeah. Caffeinated bean water.
Listen.
Hot bean water.
I'm just going by what he said.
Right, I know.
He made a big, yeah, I'm only drinking beer. Just like the monks. Were the monks drinking coffee?
I don't know, maybe.
The Capuchin monks were. Everybody else was not, right? Yeah, well, anyway, so he's losing weight as a result. Alan, Houston to Auckland, New Zealand took me 15 and a half hours on the plane.
I am.
Alan, I saw that video and it's brutal. Well, yeah. No, it's people
it's
getting
people,
shot to death.
People being murdered.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can just go throughout
16
your day.
Minutes of mayhem. All 4 people in custody, somebody said. Six five seven eight 1007 if you want to join us, or 800-348-1007. 351-92 if you're going to join us for the St. Paddy's Day party downtown on Sunday morning. We'll see you there. We're doing the 5K first. They're trying to break the record for the world's largest kilt run. So if you are part of that, be proud. We're going to do the 5K. Bar crawling starts around 9 at Dive Bar is where we're going to post up. With some of the RMG crew, I love St. Pat's. We used to do a bar for many years that we did an Alan Cox Show RMG bar crawl, where we would get on a bus and we would just make a lot of trouble for bars around town. Last couple of years, last year was the first year we did the 5K, and then we're just down in West 6. So we're still bar crawling, but we're all up and down West 6. So if you go to alancoxshow.com, use Kilt Run in the keyword search there, you'll get all the info. It'll be us, Doogie, Dieter, Jeffrey, and Snitz. I think that rounds it out.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we'll all be down there. So there's still, you know, there's still an opportunity for you to register if you want to be part of the run. But again, Kilt Run in the keyword search at alancoxshow.com. All that information is there. And I do like when they will, you know, they'll just give you, you know, hey, St. Paddy's Day weekend's coming up. Just be careful. A lot of people get hurt. You know, don't start any drunken fights. When they ask people why they start a fight, say, I don't remember. You know, if you're going to a local establishment, just be cool. Just be cool, man. You're an adult, right? It's not your first drink. You've had plenty of St. Patrick's days before. Beer is the reason for most injuries for guys and for women. It's vodka. Most women get injured on St. Pat's because of too much vodka.
Vodka.
So just keep that in mind, you know?
Didn't Gwen swear off vodka for what it does to her?
My wife will not drink vodka, yes, because she will end up dancing on a table and swinging her bra around her head. So, yeah. Which
let's
I don't
Gwen
mind.
Some vodka.
Yeah, I don't mind, but, you know, she's... No, and it's less that than the fact that she realizes that she's a mean drunk on vodka, you know? So she's smart that way. She's very self-aware. You got to know what alcohol makes you have fun, and you got to know which alcohol makes you mean.
Mm. Mean.
If you have that bone in you. Some people are just happy drunks. They'll pass out, whatever. But there are a lot of people who are mean drunks when they're on something.
Does anything make you mean?
No.
No.
Nope.
The same way.
I mean, I'm a tequila man by trade, but I can't. Now, again, I haven't had everything. There might be something that I've never had before that flips that switch, and I go, oh, well, there it is.
Found it.
Caribbean rum makes me mean. You know? I don't know.
Rum was always such a weird drunk. I would feel like I could drink rum all day long and just be really goofy. Never get wasted, never, like, lose control. I don't know. I drank rum for, like, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rum and diet.
I like rum and diet, yeah.
I remember, not all vodka, like, makes me angry, but... Just Pinnacle. Pinnacle vodka.
Pinnacle?
I cannot,
just the cheap stuff?
You get one or two things. You get either I'm really, really sad and I'm like crying about my life, or I'm cussing you out with my finger in your
Pinnacle vodka? Yeah. Mixed Pinnacle. With what?
I remember one time in particular, we were throwing a party at my house, and my friend brought people that I did not know. And normally, I would be okay with that. I don't know why I was pissed off, but I was just like, why are you bringing these goons into my house? And I kept...
Oh,
and I come here, boy! Right in front of them. Like, there's like six of them there, and I go up to her, and she's a female, so I should not be even putting my hands on her in the first place, but I took my finger and I poked it right into her chest. I said, who do you think you are?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like poking her. And she's like, why are you poking me?
I'm so mad.
Shut right. up. And then after that, I was like, I'm not drinking Pinnacle ever again.
That's
like,
so weird.
Because my roommates were howling. They're like, did you just poke her like multiple times in the chest?
If you've run a control study where like you've had other brands of vodka,
yes,
and you don't react that
yes,
way?
I've never reacted that way.
So just Pinnacle vodka.
I drank it a couple times because my brother turned me on to it for some reason. I don't know why
he knew what it was going to do to you.
That was his choice. But I had it and I got really, really sad. I was just like, you know, I really don't even have anybody to cuddle up with when I'm drunk.
Oh my gosh.
So I cried myself to sleep one night, and then I was like, well, I can't just like not finish the bottle because I'm too cheap. That's
obviously
not my, that's not my nature. So I'm going to finish it. And then the next night we threw that party and I'm poking people with my index finger. So I was like,
maybe
none
you were
of that
just,
for me.
Maybe you were just having a rough weekend. It sounds like you had some inner things going
I had some
on.
Issues.
Yeah.
Perhaps,
yeah.
Maybe it's French vodka. Maybe it's not the label. Maybe it's French vodka. If you were drinking like Ciroc, Grey Goose.
I've had that before.
So it's not French vodka.
No, I've had all of the, I pretty much had.
Yeah, I think it's probably more what's going on
in
your life. Yeah.
He was in his feels that weekend. And
well, because he said I was either really mad or sad. I'm like, yeah, that's how everybody feels when they get drunk. Like, that's the range
no,
that you run.
No, because I'm super happy.
Then you said you were either crying or you were angry at
but
somebody.
Normally, I'm super happy when I'm drunk.
Yeah, but if you're going through some other things and then it manifests when you're drunk.
But,
yeah.
Like, I look back on it, I was like, that was like one of the easiest times of my life. I was in college.
Right,
I was,
but you could have had a bad day or a bad week.
Let's test it.
Okay.
Pinnacle. On Sunday, he is going to drink nothing but Pinnacle vodka.
Yes.
And we're going to find out if
with
we.
No mixer.
If we.
Warm. Heat it up.
Ugh.
If we. Hot Pinnacle vodka.
So gross.
No.
Pinnacle.
We are going to see if we all get poked in the chest, or if
repeatedly
we all get arms around us from you and cried on.
Now, do you think that it has to do with your mentality? Like he thinks that Pinnacle makes him angry. So
a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So going into it, drinking the Pinnacle, will he act more angry
it's
or
like
annoyed?
A placebo effect.
Yes. Oh. I've heard that.
A self-glass-filling prophecy.
Correct. You might just have a bad day on a type of liquor. And then I feel like a lot of people,
tie it to that.
Yeah. That like every time I drink Jameson, I start a fight. Every time I drink I cry.
But
like,
or you get drunker on it because you're not used to drinking it. And
right.
It might be like a higher
Maybe.
Proof or something.
Remember the friend, you remember the friend we were talking about yesterday that moved to Arizona that you said was
yeah.
hot? We called her Loopy in college because she drank Loopy vodka.
Oh, Three Olives,
and,
Loopy.
Yeah, she drank
and
Loopy.
And rum chata.
And she was like...
That's what it was. Yep.
She was Donald Ducking it on my bathroom floor, and I had to like pick her up and take her into my room.
Bill would like photos.
There actually are photos, but I didn't
Bill
take
would
those.
Like them.
I would not be showing anybody those.
All right.
But yeah, she...
Picture it didn't happen, bro.
And so, to this day, she said she can never have Loopy again because that's the drunkest she's ever been.
I don't buy, though, that, like, different kinds of...
I disagree.
Okay. I think full-blown different kinds of alcohol can affect you differently.
It's a different kind of drunk, though.
Yeah. I don't think that, like...
No, I mean like a brand of vodka.
I don't think so.
I guess,
like,
yes.
Wine affects me differently than whiskey would.
No, a brand
Those
of vodka
Those are two completely different things, but Grey Goose, I don't think would affect you. Well,
if you had a shot of Pinnacle Vodka as opposed to 9 cups of it...
Well, yes, I was drinking.
Then, yeah, it would be a little different.
That was my bottle of choice for the night, because, you know, you buy your bottle for the weekend.
Experiment. You can have a shot of it today, and then on Sunday, you can do 9 cups of it.
There you go.
9 cups.
9 cups of vodka.
9 cups of vodka.
No, I've had Smirnoff. I've had...
Like, but you got to think the
cheap vodka.
It's the level. Yeah,
it's the amount you drink.
Well, not even the amount, but like he said, it's cheap. Pinnacle is very, very cheap vodka. So it's not as well made. I mean, it's like less than, it's maybe $20 a bottle, maybe.
Yeah, and that's what I used to drink in college. Smirnoff.
Tito's around that same price.
But Pinnacle is cheaper than that. Then it's not a very well made. It's cheap. It's easy. It's accessible. It has a thousand different flavors.
Pinnacle sponsorship.
Right.
We should now. Yeah. They've gotten name checked 100 times. $13.99.
Yeah, I was like, it's very cheap. Yeah. And so that is not going to be as well made, which might affect you differently than something like a Grey Goose that is triple distilled and been, you know, aged or whatever. Not, I know vodka isn't aged.
Disclaimer, you might poke bitches in the chest.
Right.
Poke bitches in the chest.
Like, if you're going to go out and you're going to get wasted on a handle of old granddad that you can buy at the gas station, that's not going to hit you the same way that 20-year-old scotch is going to hit you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I disagree. I think different brands of vodka affect you different ways.
I don't think that's real.
Because they're mixed different. It's chemical stuff. Mm-mm.
I think the tier... If you're drinking bottom shelf stuff, then yeah. Bottom shelf versus top shelf, I think definitely.
I don't buy it.
Okay.
I'll take your word for what happened to you. I don't know what happened to you.
You don't feel differently or
act differently? The proof is a proof, though. If it's, you know, if it's 80 proof, whether it's high quality or low quality, it's the same amount of alcohol.
But it's the difference in the quality of the alcohol. That's like saying chicken is chicken, and you're going to feel the same way after you eat 20 nuggets or a chicken breast. You're not.
I'm just saying that if I poured Grey Goose into a Pinnacle bottle and gave it to him, he'd act the same
way. I was saying. I think some people just get it in their head that, oh, I get this way when I drink this type of alcohol. I would always do that with wine. Get all horned up and be sexy and then think I'm
horned
the
up
hottest
and sexy.
Thing ever when I'm on red wine.
Liquid courage. There's nothing wrong with that. But as long as you're not trying to hurt somebody else.
I never felt like that on Bud Light. I think it's just like, oh, it's wine.
Yeah. We drank red wine a lot together. Neither of us got horned up in those situations.
We were always texting other people.
I know.
That's a good point. We weren't horned up with each other.
We were just texting other
people. We would sit on my couch and we would drink 3 bottles of red wine and show each other the text. Like, is this good? Do you think it'll like
Good point.
We would proofread each other's texts to
80
different people.
80 proofread. Right. Alan, that's a great slogan. Pinnacle Vodka. Who do you think you are?
My roommates still remind me of that, and I was like, yeah, I really did poke her in the chest.
That's too funny.
Multiple times.
Why was she with 6 guys?
Don't ask. It was college. It was a different time.
She was finding herself.
Yes, and they were finding her.
Yeah, my house was the party
house.
To be
very accommodating.
Once word got out, the whole neighborhood would show up.
I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, because if I were to show up to a party with friends, it would be all guys. Mm-hmm. It would be me and 6 comics. But that's exactly what that looks like when you roll deep. Like, these are my best friends.
Exactly.
Like,
right, but that's kind of the equivalent of work friends, too.
Yeah, I guess.
Comedians. Hey, Justin.
Yo, Alan. Hey, the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. How are we doing?
Good.
Hey, so I actually side with Pound Cake with this, with the different brands. They're distilled differently.
Yeah, but they're not distilled so differently that it would cause major personality changes.
Major personality changes.
So I have the same effect between Jack Daniels and Crown.
Yeah, but those are also
two very different
and brewed in two different countries. Those are distilled. One's American,
still technically whiskeys, though, correct?
But one's Canadian whiskey and one is a Renegade whiskey, which is brewed. Distilled completely differently.
A Renegade whiskey.
Jack Daniels is technically a Renegade whiskey. Yeah.
You're our new expert on all this stuff.
She's not just an alcoholic.
I know my stuff.
She knows her stuff.
She's a wise alcoholic. Good for you.
But yeah. Even between Pinnacle and Absolut, again, two different countries, two different distilleries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Listen, you could be right. I'm just saying, if somebody gave me Avión tequila and told me it was something else, I'd be like, ah, you know. But what do I know?
So what are you saying is we should give you Avión?
That's what he can only drink Avión.
So you're ah!
Yeah. All right, thank you, Justin.
See that, Alan.
Like Ciroc vodka made from grapes, not potatoes, mm-hmm. right? Some other, so maybe...
Tito's made from corn.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That might have something to do with it.
Well,
grapes
that's what I'm saying.
Potatoes v. corn.
So, like, then people talk about whiskeys and bourbons and stuff. They're not all the same. Like, Jack Daniels is not made the same as something like Maker's Mark, like, which is sweeter and made from 51% corn. And then, like, scotches and blended whiskeys are different, too. So they're made up of different things. So I don't know.
So and then they everybody can all, processes those
they
things
can
different.
All
so,
affect
yeah, I
you
can
differently.
See that. That actually, the science checks out.
Yeah, the science of it.
Alan, you guys had that mixologist on a couple years ago. Remember the dude that came in at Christmas
right,
a couple years ago?
Guy. Yeah.
Good looking dude, right? He said that the cheap vodkas use sugars that others don't. So your blood sugar spikes from cheap vodka, and that can make people angry.
See, that's a little irritated.
That's the science I'm talking about. That obviously makes sense.
What's the same with flavored vodkas? They're not always
like Absolut Papar.
Papar, yeah, sure.
And
pepper. Why is that the one you pick of all the flavors
because,
of vodka?
Because
you pick pepper.
Because I think Papar is funny.
Oh, you're a weirdo. Well,
when the A-Team was on, I used to drink Absolut Papard. Anyone?
No.
Okay, it's fine. No. I know you're young.
I mean,
and old.
I get
Thank
it.
You.
But I'm not going to laugh at it.
I'm just saying that.
Nor should you.
That explanation that he gave actually makes sense because that was back in my pound cake punch days, and I would mix the Pinnacle fruit punch. It was Pinnacle fruit punch. That's the flavor of it, and then I would mix Hawaiian Punch in there with it.
Well, that's
So you're just having a diabetic attack.
Yeah. Your blood sugar's way too high.
That's your X factor right there.
Or Hawaiian Punch or Tahitian Treat, whatever it was. That's
Tahitian Treat.
Yeah, I would mix that with my drink.
I haven't had Tahitian Treat.
It's good. Poor man's Hawaiian Punch.
So good.
It's tasty.
No, they're different.
Huh?
Isn't one carbonated and one not?
Yes.
Yeah, but
treat
they taste the same.
But not.
Yeah.
Tahitian Treat is better. The bubbles. The bubbles.
The bubbles make it fancy, Alan.
Oh, duh. Have you heard of champagne?
So that's why I was...
Listen, I have never gotten drunker or angrier. To this point, to Poundcake's point, I've never gotten drunker or angrier than 1996, maybe. I was at this party after work, got off the air. Guy had a garbage can full of like
Hairy Buffalo,
Blue Curacao, pineapple juice. I mean, one of these pound cake drinks.
Oh, jungle juice.
Jungle juice, Hairy Buffalo. They're all all big pieces of fruit floating in it. And then
not
you
even
eat
that.
Really?
I was just dunking the thing in there. Mm-hmm. I almost punched my way through a sliding door. Yeah, it was to this day.
Yeah those and then I mean,
so probably
sugar. If you make it to the end of the night and then you eat the fruit and you're all wasty off a piece of watermelon or an orange or whatever.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah. Very common. In college, we would do what was called pink panty droppers. Was a very big, I'm sure people know this.
We did that in college.
In the big like Gatorade tub thing, like the big Gatorade things, we would put two handles of vodka, a case of beer, and then 2 2-liters of pink lemonade.
Ugh.
And then you do like a Country Time lemonade, like the powder. So it's literally vodka, beer, and lemonade, but you would drink it. It doesn't taste like anything, and you get all wasted.
Those college days. Mm-hmm. Yep.
2 handles of Kamchatka and like a 30-pack of Natty Light. Oh, I can't even think of it.
The girls we used to party with, they used to live on Spicer Street in Akron, and we used to call their house Sugar and Spicer because they would always have these big parties, and they would have like a trash can filled with like jungle juice and panty droppers, and that's what they would make. And we would just come by
because it's
have
cheap.
A cup.
The whole thing would cost you $20. You make that whole big thing, and then you have a bunch of people drinking it.
And then they stop.
We would ask people for money, be like, hey, throw it in, and we'll make more, and we would make money on our party.
Everyone would. Well, they tried to, but the party stopped when people started getting robbed. Like, people would walk in their house, and they didn't know.
We had that happen.
Getting robbed.
For real. Car keys would get stolen, and then guns would get pulled out.
We're like, wouldn't do that.
Okay. Well,
I went to Toledo, though. Yeah. It wasn't much
and they had liquid courage, too, because after they would have the jungle juice, they walked outside, and they're like, who has my keys?
Oh, yeah.
see this big thug dude next to the car. I'm like, girl, don't walk up to him. She's like, no, I don't care. I'm a gangster. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get my keys.
Those are mine.
He puts a gun in her face, and she's like, oh, my God, he has a gun. And runs back.
That's crazy. Yeah. I've never had any kind of experience
like
that.
I was like, see, you white girls got so much courage when you're drunk. I don't do that.
They really do.
We do.
Over Christmas break, a friend of mine was home, and there was like an altercation outside of a diner where everybody was like eating to sober up, and these two people were fighting, and there's a cop right there, and the cop's just kind of letting it like kind of play out because it wasn't that serious.
Like,
it
just,
wasn't
yeah.
that. And so he's just like, hey, get out of here. And then she's just like, hey, leave him alone. Oh, you better yeah. get. And I'm like, will you shut the hell up?
I don't know.
So
what
we
the
can just
is.
Get out of here.
Yeah, man.
We don't, because as soon as they got. Like, they kept going back at each other, and it was the guy that was getting his ass kicked that kept starting the fight again. And she's like, well, I'm not going to help him now that I see that he just keeps instigating the fight. I'm like, duh.
It's not your place to begin
right.
with.
Right. We're just trying to get home.
And drunk girls sometimes forget that some guys will lay a woman out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not thinking of it like that.
Way of the gun.
You're so drunk and so courageous and just like, I got this. I'm totally in control of everything. And then you're just like, oh, I'm going to get punched in the face.
I'm not in control of anything.
Or they expect their dude to jump in like, you're going to let him speak to me like that?
Like,
yes,
you're the one
yes, I am. I'm all about equality.
She turns around and I'm halfway down the street.
Right.
Where did you go?
You coward.
My Uber was already here, so I'm out.
That's the thing about having mostly guy friends. I feel like I calmed down a little bit. When I was first drinking and blacking out and stuff, I would be mouthy. Like, I was starting problems everywhere I went. And then it got to the point where my guy friends are like, we're not backing you up anymore.
No one
like,
wanted
we're
to hang out with you.
Yeah, they're like, no, you go. You're a problem everywhere we go. I remember the last time I got thrown out of a bar. It was my little sister's.
The last time.
This is the last time. It was my little sister's. It was one of her birthdays. It might have been her 21st, to be honest with you. We were out on West 6th. Me, both my sisters, and my cousin were out, and we were just tearing it up. And my cousin and I went into a VIP area that we didn't belong in. And then when they were trying to kick us out, very respectfully so, like, hey, we paid a lot of money for this bottle. You can't just drink it. We started to get real lippy and like, well, you know, blah, 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 and like starting problems. And my cousin like pushed one of the girls. And then like, we were at.
And then Mary poked her in the chest. And said, who do you think
no.
you are?
My cousin pushed a girl. And then the girl went to like grab my cousin by the throat. And so like I'm trying to get in the middle of it and like push them apart from each other. The girl hit me and then we were all ejected.
Chick fights
and,
are the best.
But it's our fault. We were the ones in VIP where we did not belong.
That's what I'm looking forward to on St. Pat's Day is chick fights. I'll make the full announcement for you Monday afternoon for this year's Alan Cox Show comedy tour. And then we'll start giving away tickets before they go on sale. I'll also have passes for you for the Cleveland Film Festival, which is starting very soon. IX Indoor Amusement Park 2. Tia from The Blacklist said about 5 years ago she was at a hotel party. She had 6 Jaeger shots, 3 Long Islands, ended up face down in a plate of fries.
Yeah.
At a Euro George. My mother didn't speak to me for a week. There you go. Why would your mom care? Maybe she was worried, right?
I haven't talked to my mom in like 2 months.
Yeah.
We're on good terms.
Yeah, right. Has it been that long? Have you not talked to your mom in 2 months?
It hasn't been that long, but it's, you know, we don't talk that often.
Really?
I don't talk to my parents very often. Like, maybe she texted like a group chat
but
thing.
You don't see them? Like, they're local. Like, my family's in Chicago. Like, I have to text them, you know?
Yeah, they're no, I don't talk to my parents that much.
Really?
No. And it's not like hard feelings. We went to dinner a couple weeks ago. I took my mom out for her birthday.
Okay.
And that was the last time I, like, spent significant time with them. But yeah, I don't talk to my parents all that often.
Huh.
Okay. And then I do is just like, yeah, things are good. How are you? Good. Cool. They travel a lot now, too, because they're getting, up there. And this is the time of year where my dad's not as busy with work, so he can just go out and do things.
They're doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're empty nesters.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
I think no animosity. When you don't talk that often, though, it can be kind of weird to try to start talking again. Because it's like, I've gone significant periods of time without talking to my parents, and then it would be like, they'd hit you up, or at least in my situation, my dad hit me up like, hey, how's everything going? I'm like, fine. Like, how are you? But if you talk on an everyday basis, it's like those little things will start coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, hey, how was whatever you did? How'd your car go when you went and took it into the shop, or yada, yada, yada. But when you only talk to him once every couple months, that seems insignificant. To be like, yeah, 3 weeks ago, had to get my radiator fixed, or you know what I mean?
I did.
Yeah,
but I don't care.
But like, I feel like,
but
I mean,
I don't
when
feel
you
like
talk to them
they need
more
to hear
often.
That. Yeah, I understand that, but I also just, I don't know. I don't need constant, and this is something that people have to get used to with me, because they'll be like, well, I didn't even know if we were friends anymore because we haven't talked in a while. I'm like, I don't talk to people. All I do is talk. So when I don't have to talk, I'm like Ron Swanson. So my best friends are people I never say a word to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Plus, I had one of my exes. He's like, I talk to my mom every day. I'm like, about what?
Right.
Like, you have to leave enough of a buffer where you can build up some stories.
Right.
So then when you talk to me, you go, this, check, check, you know.
Mm-hmm. But if you have that much stuff to talk about, then you forget some things.
They probably weren't that important, you know? I mean, if they haven't, if they're not foremost in your mind, probably not that important.
I talk to my mom once every 3 days.
By design?
No.
Because you make it sound like your mom's always up your ass for something.
She is.
She's always checking on you.
She is.
So you return her call or message every 3 days.
It's not like purposely. Like, I it just so happens that we call each other every 3 days. Because if I don't call her, like, if it's Monday and she hasn't talked to me since, if it's Monday and she hasn't talked to me since, like, Friday, she'd be like, I'm going to call you. And then sometimes I'll just call her because I know she's going to call me, like, by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
My dad will do that. We'll go like 2 weeks without texting, and then he'll just text me and be like, I'm alive, thanks for asking. And I'll be like, well, I'm alive too. You didn't ask me. That is my
just because you're closer to death doesn't mean you shouldn't be concerned about me anymore.
That is my least favorite thing that people do. And everybody does this when they're like you said, Bill, like, oh, we haven't talked in a while, or I haven't heard from you, or I haven't done this. I'm like, well, you haven't called me either. Mm-hmm. I just feel like everyone across the board should stop using that excuse. Was like, well, so-and-so hasn't called me in 6 months. I'm like, well, have you called them? No. Well, then you're just as guilty as they are.
Well, because that means that they're clearly testing them to see, too. I don't know.
You know what? That is my least favorite thing of all time.
People that don't have a lot going on, they find, like, these little things to
hold on
fill
to
their lives with, I guess.
So the last day I actually had a text, just my mom and I, was on my birthday, the 16th.
In February.
February.
A month ago.
I had an hour and a half, like, conversation.
We have some, like, group chat stuff. But
yeah.
The last time we actually, like, had a full conversation, just not, and that was, all she said was, happy birthday, and I said thanks with a smiley face.
It's like, not even a full conversation.
That is for me, my mom, and my dad, it probably goes back months and months, like, probably 6 or 8 months. I don't know. I just don't, I'm not that close with my parents. It's, like, we get along well, but I think we get along better when we don't know what's going on in each other's lives.
Right. Well, you lead very different lives.
Yes.
And that's fine. You can have that. It's how I am with my older brother. My one older brother and I do not see eye to eye on pretty much any subject there's ever been in the history of time. So it's one of those things. We see each other and we get along at holidays and things like that. But
keep it light, keep it breezy.
I'm not going out of my way to aggravate myself. Because we're going to get on the phone. If we're on the phone for more than 15 or 20 minutes of that, hey, how are the kids? How's this? How's stand-up? Then we're going to end up arguing. I'm going to hang up on you.
That's right.
Have you had family members that just pick up the phone and they don't even say hello? They're just like, so listen, like, I know what you said. Like they just pass on gossip or they
I have family members where if I picked up the phone and be like, I did not have your number saved. And I'm talking about immediate family members.
New phone, who dis?
Mm-hmm. My brother or my mom will call me and I'm like, hello. They're like, so let me tell you what happened. I'm like, well, hi, nice to talk to you, too. Like, they'll just go right into the conversation.
Yeah, but do you need the pleasantries?
Yes, I need the pleasantries, because if you're going to...
But the pleasantries are like 2 seconds, because you know what they want.
Hey,
they just
want
it. They want to spill.
Are
yeah, so like, hey, what's up? Okay, we got that out of the way? Yeah, good. Just, I'd say do away with all that. I'd rather have somebody get right to it.
15-minute long rant, and I'm just not saying a word. Just go on, boo-boo, do you.
My dad will call me to tattle on my other siblings. He'll call me sometimes out of the blue. He'll be like, you want to hear what an ass your brother is? And I'm like, I guess. Like, lay it on me, dude.
You need to vent.
Sure. Right. I will win that no matter what. So, like, I'm sure my mom would vent to my sister or brother about me.
About you.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, as far as... But even that's
do you want to hear what an, do you want to hear what an ASS Billy is?
Right.
She wouldn't even say it, would she?
No.
An A word?
Uh-huh. Are you the most inappropriate of your family members? Both of you. I guess Bill and Mary.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know that I would say inappropriate.
No, I would.
See, like, I'm not the most inappropriate.
For me.
My brother.
You mean the least like your other siblings?
Well, all my siblings have kids. All of them. And my both my brothers are married, and then my little sister Black just sheep. Got engaged, which, did you see that? Russ and Elena got engaged?
I sent him a text message. I was like, oh my gosh.
And the ring already, is beautiful. Yeah. So cute. So congratulations to you too, if you're listening. Yeah.
I thought I had something, Russ, but whatever.
But so both my brothers are married with kids. Elena's engaged with kids. My older sister is in a committed relationship mm-hmm. with kids. So they're all kind of doing that thing. And then I'm the only one not. I'm out doing whatever I want all over the country, telling jokes and all that kind of stuff. So,
but my brother, he is just like last night. I sent him a text message. This is at like midnight. He commented on one of my pictures and he said the N-word. And he was like, N-word this. I'm like, do not. I sent him a text in August. I said, do not say the N-word on my Facebook page. People see that. And he was like,
oh. A or ER?
ER.
Wow.
No. It was A. He was like, it was a picture of me looking like a thug, and he said, N-word is gangster. I'm like, don't say the N-word on my Facebook
page.
Wait, was
there an ER in gangster, too?
Oh.
Name for the N-word, yeah. ER for gangster.
I deleted it, but he was like, sorry, I guess you forgot that you was an N-word. I almost said it. See, he makes me want to say it when I talk to him. But he's like, sorry, I guess you thought you were the N-word.
Do you think you would get in trouble for that, for someone commenting on your Facebook?
I have salespeople on there. I have other people on there. I don't need them seeing my brother's like terrible vocabulary. So I told him to stop, and he was just like, all right, well, whatever. I guess we lost one
terrible
of you.
Vocabulary.
That's one way to put it. What about your terrible vocabulary?
I'm not using the N-word.
He's not using slurs.
Yeah, you're just making up your own.
I can compose myself when I need to, but on a public forum like that, you don't need to say stuff like that. I get in enough trouble from social media.
But you're right, but you're not on the hook for what other people say on your platform.
I
get where you're coming from.
I don't want to, because then I can't comment on it.
But you can just delete it.
I did delete it.
Yeah.
But I just told him, for future reference, don't do it anymore. And then he had to admit
it. So the first time that he did it?
No, he's done it multiple times. I keep deleting it.
Yeah.
And so today he messages me. He's like, I need a favor. I'm like, no, I thought you said I wasn't the N-word anymore. Right. So no, I'm not doing it.
What did he want?
Money.
That's a favor? I need a favor.
See, he told you.
What kind of favor? $75?
I need the pleasantries. I need the pleasantries if you want something from me.
Wow. Yeah, well, all right. Hey, they tested, I don't know who thought to do this. But they put these cheesemongers. We're talking about Grandma's Cheese Barn or whatever, right?
Grandpa.
I said Grandpa.
You said Grandma.
You said Grandma.
I said Grandma.
You said Grandma's Cheese
Barn. Is it Grandpa?
It's Grandma's Cheese Barn.
It's Grandpa. I live with my friend's grandma.
Right.
It's Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
Oh, I see.
That's why I get confused.
It's been a long week.
Where's Grandma in this thing, then? If it's Grandpa's Cheese Barn, did he get it in the divorce, or is he a widower?
She gone.
What's the backstory on Grandpa? Did he inherit a cheese barn?
I think he has cows, and it's like, I could make money off this.
Is there a grandpa? Was there a grandpa?
Yeah, there was.
There was.
There's like a little plaque that explains the whole thing at the place.
Well,
explains the history of Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
They made these sound booths for cheese. I don't know why I don't know. They wanted to see what music would make cheese taste better.
What?
They were exposing it to sound waves. And so they took award-winning cheeses and they exposed them to different kinds of music to see which, if any, of the cheeses would taste better based on what music they were exposed
to. For how long? For like a month?
8 months.
8 months.
So they exposed, they had one cheese that would listen to the Beatles. They had some classical music for another. They had some Led Zeppelin. They had some techno music. They had hip-hop. Hip-hop makes cheese taste best, they said. Tribe Called Quest, specifically, was what they would play. And these cheeses would age, and I guess somehow the
so smooth
sound waves.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is it like the vibrations through the air that's changing the way the cheese is composed?
So. Yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
And so Tribe Called Quest made that particular cheese taste the best. There are so many variables, I'm not even sure. I'd be more interested to talk to the person who came up with this in the first place. All right, guys, here's what we do is we will play music for cheese and see how it tastes.
That's the biggest idea I've ever heard.
Sven, could you just back it up a second? And
I feel like Primus would really help because of all the cheese-related albums they have.
Sailing the Seas of Cheese, mm-hmm. All that.
And you got, is it Richard Cheese? Maybe he plays some of his stuff?
Richard Cheese?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'd just keep it to cheese-related artists.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think Tribe Called Quest, they're not that involved in the cheese world.
See, I don't know that much about them. I only know musically.
Yeah.
They might be very cheese-oriented.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe they have a cheese farm where they just have all different kinds of cows and goats. And they make all their own cheese.
Farm?
Yeah. No, it's a cheese farm, not a dairy farm. They don't mess with milk or butter, just cheese.
All right. If you say so.
I'm saying maybe. Yeah. This is all speculation all over here, Bill.
Hey, Joe.
Yo, what up, guys?
What's going on?
I find that when I listen to reggae, I get a very frothy from under cheese.
Ha, hi-yo.
Good size, nice llama.
That's right.
So, our entire lives, my mother's strictest form of punishment against us has been to not speak to us or just act like we don't exist.
Silent treatment.
Yeah, so it worked when we were younger because, like, she'd make Sunday dinner, and...
You hated it when you were younger. My mom would do the same thing. It was terrible.
Yeah, you wouldn't get a plate made for you.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't even get invited to the dinner table.
That's right.
Like but now, it's kind of like a blessing. Like, if she's annoying me, if she does something that pissed me off, I would just do something to in turn piss her off, because she doesn't talk to me for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month. But, I mean, if you do something really bad, which you don't think was bad, she will literally not talk to you. She hasn't talked to my sister in 2 years over something.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Fairly trivial, but not
really.
Yeah,
that turns out to be a game of chicken, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
because
when you're a kid, you got nothing going on. So your whole world is your parents or your friends, right? You see your friends every day at school. So if your parents are shutting you down, you're like, oh, my God, this is the end of the world. You get to be an adult. You got stuff going on. You don't care. You know, it's not bad at all if you're getting the – you don't even realize you're getting the silent treatment from your parents.
Yeah. Right. I might be getting it right now, and I have no idea.
Bill has no idea what's – yeah.
What'd your sister do?
She was in the middle of labor, and – my mom wanted to be the first grandparent to see the child, and my sister was like, sure, get down here. She's in Oklahoma, by the way. She's like, sure, get down here if you want, but her mother-in-law was already on her way, and she's like, well, tell her she can't be here. She's like, I'm in the middle of labor. I'm not telling anybody anything, so you deal with it. And and my sister's called, try to apologize, try to extend the olive branch, but she's got, like, a niece, and she's got kids on the way. That,
wow, your mom's really putting the screws to her.
Yeah, it is what it is.
She's never seen the grandchild?
She's seen her once.
Wow, look at that.
Your mom got issues.
She does.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware. Yeah.
My, not exactly like that, but my grandma was super pissed for a while because I was her first granddaughter, and she wanted to be the first one to buy me a dress, but a lady from church bought me a dress first, and my grandma and that lady didn't talk for a while because she was like, how dare you come to the hospital?
Dumb thing to
Dude,
be upset
how
about.
How dare you come to the hospital for my first granddaughter and bring her a dress? It was Sister Cool. I remember.
Which is just a nice thing to do. You bring a gift.
Yeah, she doesn't think. Yeah, just wanted to come say, hey, congratulations. And we were really involved in the church at that point. My parents were. My grandma was so mad.
Isn't it amazing how petty church people can be?
Oh, right?
Yeah, they're really nailing that turn.
Really counterintuitive to,
Well, some of it I feel is like some of that Eastern European kind of upbringing where it's like, no BS, like this is it. And if you don't like it, you can kick rocks and they'll hold a grudge forever.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, we're not living in 17th century Poland anymore. So people got some things going on. All right. Thank you, Joe.
Be safe.
All right.
Congratulations, Stacy. Too bad you can't keep the baby and give those stretch marks up for adoption.
Whoa.
Teenage pregnancy, blood, poop, and ruined bodies.
All right. There's Joe in Philly. Alex Trebek has posted a video thanking everyone for the well wishes that he's gotten. I'm curious how long he took to process his stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis before he made that initial statement. Because a lot of people were marveling at the fact that he seemed so calm and collected when he told people. He was just like he was hosting the show. He's like, I'd like to let everybody know that I'm going to be just fine. I'm going to beat this. But I wonder at how much time there was between his diagnosis and when he put out that statement.
Because you've got to have
probably
a
meltdown. Like
you've
got to like
have a meltdown.
Hour.
No way.
Yeah, he probably was just like, oh, this is it. Let's put this video out right now.
No person gets that.
I wonder. He might
say
be
at least
that
a week.
Cool.
At least a week.
I mean, he's got a young wife, so she probably took it harder than he did, maybe.
But you've
got
to process. That's a big thing to hear. And even if you don't think you're going to be like, oh, well, everybody dies or whatever. When you hear that, that's got to be I'd say it was probably at least a week.
Hi, everyone. I just want to take a few moments to say thanks to the, believe it or not, hundreds of thousands of people who have sent in tweets, texts, emails, cards.
And he already sounds tired.
I know. I was just thinking that. He sounds different.
Letters wishing me well following my recent health announcement. I've heard from former contestants. Even Watson, the IBM computer, sent me a get well card. Now, obviously, I won't be able to respond to all of you individually, but I did want you to know that I do read everything I receive. And I am thankful for the kind words, the prayers, and the advice you have offered. And I'm extremely touched by the warmth you have expressed in your comments to me. I'm a lucky guy.
What is going in the garbage, Alex, for 200? Yeah. Hey, I remember when Watson sent me an audio birthday card. It didn't mean much to me at the time.
I eat my poop.
Yeah, what does that have to do with my birthday? Watson, supercomputer. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Alan.
What's going on?
Oh, I was listening to you talk about playing music for cheese. I take my cheddar cheese, I put it in a chamber, and I play just one note over and over, two semitones below a middle C.
Yeah.
Because I prefer a sharp cheddar cheese.
Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good day.
We needed that, honestly. to join us, or 800-348-1007, 35192. Want to send me a text, alancoxshow.com. The live video stream is there if you'd like to watch, and you can listen from anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. If you do that from out of state, let me know where. Somebody suggested A Tribe Called Queso. Boy, it's one letter. And none of us could come up with that.
Right.
Good for you, whoever sent me that. Brendan is a bureau chief in Columbia, South Carolina. William was listening in Corozal, Belize. I don't know if that's still a thing. He was an early bureau chief. Carrie is in Cave Creek, Arizona. Rob is brand new in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Danielle is in Orange County, California. Molly is a D.C. bureau chief who checked in a couple days ago. And Sasha is in Portland, Oregon. Thanks. The Cavs are off tonight. They lost in Orlando last night. 120-91 was the final. So they'll take tonight off. Tomorrow night they'll be in Dallas to play Dennis Rodman and the Mavericks. Yep. Can you shut that all the way? Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. No, there's people screaming in the hallway. In our allegedly soundproof rooms.
I was like, I don't even see anybody on.
That's T. Cook.
Now they're out there. Right. Anyway, they're in Dallas tomorrow night. 8:30 is the first tip, so 8 o'clock is when the pregame coverage will start here on MMS. You want to get yourself some gear from CLE Clothing Company. Remember, you can use the promo code LUCKY all through the month of March. Get yourself 20% off whatever you buy. Do you want to do it in one of their stores? They've got a few. Or you can do it online. CLEclothingco.com. 20% off the top if you use the promo code LUCKY. The owner of the Utah Jazz grabbed a mic and went on the court. Gail Miller is the owner of the Jazz. A couple days after that whole Russell Westbrook, Donnybrook, when the Thunder were playing the Jazz in Utah. And some guy who was subsequently banned was screaming at him, some fan who's been banned. It was allegedly, I don't know if there were racial epithets in there, but I mean, he was saying things that got Russell Westbrook to yell at the guy.
And he was trolling him out.
Trolling him online.
He got what's coming to him.
So the owner, in an effort to try to get Jazz fans to stop being such nonstop douche nozzles. And I was reading an article, too. They're like, when they talk to NBA players about the worst place to play, they all say Utah. Or a vast majority of them say Utah is the worst place to play.
Because of the fans?
The fans.
A lot of people say that about coming to Cleveland for Browns games, that our fans are super, super rude.
That's football, though.
I know.
Yeah. Gail Miller addressing the crowd.
Thank you. I'd like to read a message that I have written so that it's very clear to all of you.
Hey, by the way, if you've never seen this woman, she looks like if Utah was a person.
So I was like, what is up with all these weird voices today? She's like shaky. Like
how many female owners are in the NBA, do you think?
I want to say she may be the only one.
Gail Miller, yeah.
Because I think, well, I guess Jeannie Buss. Is she the owner?
Well, her dad is the owner. Yeah, I mean, but she might have gotten it from him, but mm-hmm. maybe Gail Miller got it from her dad.
She got it from her dad because her dad's Larry H. Miller. He's the namesake.
She does look like
it's in her family. Yeah, then. I see. Okay.
I think he died a few years ago.
As the owner of the Utah Jazz, I feel it's important for me to take this opportunity to express some thoughts and concerns about the unfortunate event that happened Monday night. I am extremely disappointed that one of our, quote, fans conducted himself in such a way as to offend not only a guest in our arena, but also me personally, my family.
She's awfully shaky.
That's what I was saying.
She's not a public speaker.
She's a public owner.
Yeah, but she inherited the team from her dad. So
she's never spoken to the crowd before on the floor of the
right, does it once in a while.
Arena that bears her father's name.
But it's different to do like,
what's going on?
She's also scolding.
Got some douchebags out there.
She's out there also being like, hey guys, please don't act this way. Kind of doing a you're in the principal's office kind of thing right now.
And don't forget to tithe 10% to the front office. Thank you. Good night.
Does she have a podium at least?
No, she's like center court.
And she needs a podium.
Reading from a prepared statement.
Gets rid of a lot of nerves.
I don't know why they wouldn't just do this as a video.
I agree. Of, yeah, put on the jumbotron.
Do it that way.
She wanted to do it in person. Mm-hmm. A podium.
Yeah.
Respect for that.
It feels more official.
Mm-hmm. It feels more official. And for me, if I have something to like grip and just something kind of like to fiddle with as I'm talking.
It's like something to grip and fiddle with.
it gets rid of my nerves.
The old grip and fiddle.
I was just going to say that. The old grip and fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Our organization, the community, our players, and you as the best fans in the NBA.
As the richest old white lady in Utah, I would just like everyone to stop being such a-holes.
MAGA.
H-E double hockey stick.
This should never happen. We are not a racist community. We believe...
Oh, so he must have said something that was racial in nature. Gee, who'd have thunk against an NBA player? It's like, it's even worse in Europe when there's like, you know, soccer's the biggest sport in the world.
But even
the fans still are awful to the players. Like, they'll throw bananas at black players. And stuff. Oh, my God, it's crazy.
And they're even worse in basketball because it's not as popular, so things don't get publicized as much there.
You mean overseas?
Overseas, yeah. Like, they're terrible. And there are a lot of people coming from America and going over there.
Sure.
So they're racist and against Americans. So,
it's bad. Double whammy.
Yep.
We believe in treating people with courtesy and respect as human beings. From time to time, individual fans exhibit poor behavior and forget their manners. Some disrespect.
All the way back to 1971, Utah has been down with the brown.
Oh my gosh. Down with the brown.
Respect players on other teams. When that happens, I want to jump up and shout, stop.
Did she say shump up?
Shump up.
Shump up.
Shump up and say stop.
That was a little code. Yeah. They're going to try to get him on Shumpert on the Jazz.
She's down.
She wants to shump up.
Shump up.
Got to shump up a little bit when I grab and fiddle.
Join us for drinks this week at Happy Hour at the Grab and Fiddle.
Get their manners. Some disrespect players on other teams. When that happens, I want to jump up and shout, stop.
She's so
nervous.
We
have a
I
feel bad for
her. She's a nice lady. Yeah. I know nothing about her, literally. I've never even heard of her before this. What?
Why don't they have a PR person to do this?
Because they want the owner. It means more coming from the owner.
That's right. She probably would want to say, I'm going to get out there and let everybody know that the buck stops with me. The Milwaukee Bucks, which I'm hoping to buy, stop with me.
The buck stops with me.
Very intimidating.
But of conduct in this arena, it will be strictly enforced. Everyone who comes.
Oh, yeah, I would listen to a shaky old lady before I listen to some guy out there go, in some corporate speech.
Right, we need to treat the players with respect and show that coming to Utah is a place where the fans are passionate, but they care.
Respectful.
Something like that.
Passionate,
but like here, this is like getting like you disappointed. Like,
you disappointed
not even mad.
Your grandma.
your grandma's upset with you.
She
like,
wishes you
I
wouldn't
can't
have.
Believe I came to the game tonight and you acted this way. Right. And I just, it makes me so upset. I'm like, I can't yell at Russell Westbrook anymore. It's too much.
Guilt tripping.
I've given you a team and this is the thanks I get.
No championships, but we gave you the team at least.
Comes here, visiting teams included, deserves the right and the expectation to be treated with dignity at all times. When bad incidents like Monday night happen, it not only affects the player it's directed at, it also affects our players. Other teams are not our enemies. They are our competition. Competition is a good thing. It allows players to showcase their talents, and it allows fans to encourage, appreciate, cheer for, and enjoy those who share their talents with us. Our family has been stewards of this.
That said, season ticket holders can say whatever they want.
As long as they pre-sale for the next 5 to 10 years.
If you purchase a luxury box, let it fly. We're currently soundproofing our VIP rooms, so you can hurl whichever epithets you like at whichever player you choose in comfort.
I honestly think, like, it's one thing to yell like this guy did, like make it a racial thing, but I do think there should be more psychological warfare when you go into an arena. Like, I would love if when you played the Cavs, and I talked about this last year when the Cavs were in the playoffs, people to just do weird things to mess with the players.
There are some people who do that.
They wear chicken suits. And
right, but it's got to be like, I mean, like the whole arena. Like, the whole arena was doing weird stuff to just freak someone out when they're shooting free throws. Or
yeah,
just
but you
like
also have to have it to a certain degree where it doesn't affect your players, too, though. Even though they may know it's coming, if 40,000 people or however many it holds, 20,000 people are sitting in chicken suits, like, that's going to be very distracting to all players.
Well, you don't have to go as far as wearing chicken suits, but, like, making irregular noises or doing, you know, like, a lot of times when people are shooting free throws, and I don't even think
air
it's
horn
just,
night? Like, what
well, you
like,
can't do that, but, I mean, like, it was famous, like, they had for the World Cup. But there's weird things that you could do, and I feel like that would be just, like, a fun experience. Or like, almost like the way they do it with soccer. When you go to a soccer game, those fans are screaming and singing the entire game. And so that gives your home team a much better chance of winning because the fans are incensed the entire time, not what if they're just doing well or not.
And frankly, any team can sacrifice one game in the service of the entire place being in chicken suits.
Yeah.
So it distracts them. Big deal. They lose one game, but everyone's in chicken suits.
I'm all about like the that. Chicken suit idea as long as we open up a chicken suit store right now.
Okay. We're the ones who are selling the chicken suits. Get ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think. I think,
like, are you thinking like basketball?
Yeah,
like you're allowed to do psych outs.
Yeah, like kind of psych out type things. Yeah. Like, yeah, just like as imagine if someone like
and
the Kupo's about to shoot a free throw and everybody's just going Steve Perry,
right.
Steve Perry.
I
and
heard
he's
your
like,
mom.
No more journey psych outs.
I heard your mom's looking up with squeak.
You guys call me a little bitch 15 or 16 more times. I'm out of here.
Hello, man.
Team for 34 years. We love sharing it with all of you and receiving your support. It is also important that you support our players as citizens of our community and treat them and their families with respect. They have chosen to become part of our community, and they make us richer with their diversity. My heartfelt request to all
just richer.
It is not easy to be non-white in Utah. Please remember this.
Dude, worst halftime show ever. Just sit and listen to this lady.
Boo!
Come on.
Bring back Black Eyed Peas.
You can't get the dish balancers or anything. A little kid cheerleading squad, nothing.
They bring the guy back that they banned. They're like, you're going to get this crowd riled up, bro.
Dude, we are a little dying over here. Morale is
all
low.
All of you. Is that from this?
Be great if it was reversed and there's just a black fan out there heckling her the whole time.
Why don't you get on your knees?
I'm forward.
She wouldn't even understand. She'd be like, I get on my knees every night to pray to the Lord.
Pride in holding ourselves and those around us to the highest standard of decency. Use your energy cheering our team with your honest, sincere enthusiasm rather than degrading or demeaning players on the opposing team. No one wins when respect goes away. Let's be the supporting fans.
Here's what I think you do to get everybody into it, right? You have a section of people who all stand up at the same time. And then they all sit down, and the section next to them all stands up at the same time.
Wait a minute.
And then they sit down, and what it does is it creates a crest. I don't know what you would call it.
You could call it the crest.
Almost like an ebb and flow of people.
Yes. And it just goes continuously throughout the arena.
I would love it.
I would love one time, if someone's trying to shoot a free throw, the entire arena times it out, and then all at the same time, make a fart noise.
No, but that would never happen.
But it'd be great.
It would be great, but that would never happen.
But...
Right. And he's at the line. A big echoey fart.
Yeah, a big echoey fart. And like not like a prolonged one, just like everybody at the same time goes. 25,000 people doing that? That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
After being totally silent?
Yeah.
I bet Gail Miller farted at least once during this speech. A little panic fart.
Probably wasn't a fart.
That our players know and deserve. Thank you. And go Jazz.
Man, she's all amped up. She went and voted down so many school levies after this. She's just on her high horse.
She's 36 years old. She's a saint, Mary Lee. Her alone, damn it.
There you go.
She does look like if Utah was a person, though. I totally agree.
Yes.
Damn it, Mary. That was a good one.
She is the wealthiest person in Utah. She's the widow of the former owner. Yeah.
Okay.
Her net worth says only $1.6 billion.
Only.
But in Utah.
But I'm saying that's on skin.
They have different money there. There's an exchange rate in Utah.
My buddy Kevin just sent me a picture of when Tony Parker was trying to shoot a free throw. And someone held up Eva Longoria, like a big cutout of her. See, that's funny. That's a good distraction.
It's harmless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gail Miller has since remarried, of course, but she's the chairwoman of Salt Lake Community College.
Wait, so she remarried but kept the last name Miller?
She did.
Huh? It's a baller move right there.
She married someone named Kim Wilson. She is... this is how many... billionaires are in the world. She is number 1,867 on the Forbes World's Billionaires list.
I'm saying, she's not that high.
No, she's not that high.
She's not that high.
I was
she's on the list. That's all that matters.
I was reading that the United States has more millionaires than Sweden has people.
Wow.
We have a lot of millionaires. A lot of very rich people in this country.
We have a lot of people, though.
How does it feel to be in that top 1%, Alan?
Are you talking to me?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, no.
No? I thought Pound Cake said you had $1 million.
Pound Cake says a lot of things, yes.
It's never.
$1 million.
I'm not saying he has that in his bank account, but you put the car, the house, the baby.
The baby. $1 million.
You know that Ford Fusion in there. That
put me right over the top, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
I heard a rumor that Alan has his hair insured for $250,000.
My hair insured?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, if anything happens to it.
So when I get a haircut, I get a dividend payment or something?
No, if you were to shave your head or...
Someone accidentally scalp you or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know those accidental scalpings that happen.
Hey, they happen.
You've got a...
Do they?
When was the last accidental scalping?
I don't know. Check the news.
I thought maybe you had one
in your pocket.
Tucked,
in your
tucked away?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, no, my net worth, I don't even know what my net worth is. Well,
I
guarantee you it wouldn't even remotely be close
you have
to $1 million.
Accountants to take care of that.
So no.
Accountants.
I do not. Accountants. No, they've coffin skated all of my... no.
Riches.
That's right. No, not even close.
My friend, it wasn't an accidental scalping of his eyebrow, but he made a promise that if the Browns got Odell Beckham Jr., he'd shave off one of his eyebrows. So he did that last night at East End, and there's video of it, and it's pretty freaking funny.
You can find the video on my Instagram story at Mary Santora Comedy.
Or
if you
want
like
the
to go
good
watch.
One with all the music and high quality video, go to at Bill Squire, and I retweeted it.
Or both.
You put music Twitter. Under it?
No, my buddy Josh Lawhor, who helps me run the show.
I have music on it.
Why don't you have the good one? Why
I do. I have a man with his shirt off covered in shaving cream.
Yeah, that's one he's got. But I'm going to give the guy credit who actually did the bet. Like, he's a man of his word. So I retweeted his video. So, yeah. At Bill Squire. And it's got a little production value to it. It's pretty funny.
Well,
our buddy AJ DeCosmo has his character he calls Slut Man, where he covers himself in shaving cream and makes like a shaving cream bra, and he'll like lip sync videos and send them to me
so
on
weird.
Snapchat.
He sends them to everyone on Snapchat.
So weird. But
strange
it's so
times
funny.
Of the day,
yeah.
6 p.m. on a Wednesday. Like, what right. are you doing, man? Like,
but he was the one that.
That's how Slut Man does it.
Yep. Right.
He did the eyebrow shaving, and it's pretty funny. And yeah, if you
all
want
right.
to see that.
Wait, where could I see that again?
At Bill Squire on
Twitter. Wait, where
Twitter.
Else could I see that?
At Mary Santora Comedy on Instagram.
Which would I watch if I wanted music and production value?
At Mary Radio Santora Comedy.
At Bill Squire.
Pound Cakes is overflowing with music and production value.
I met Alan.
Did you?
I gave him marijuana.
Oh, great.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
You want to text me? Dr. Ryan Berglund will join us in about an hour for a new installment of This Is It Red? Is what it's called. I don't know what I was going to call it, but it's called Is It Red?
It is red.
It is red. It's always red. Sometimes green, sometimes black. He's a urologist from the Cleveland Clinic, and he'll join us every so often to offer his help for you guys that have odd things going on below the belt. So if you want to get an early question in, you can shoot me an email. Those start pouring in about an hour before he comes in. Otherwise, we'll take your calls and we'll take your texts when he's in today. In the wake of the New Zealand shooting, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, Reddit has banned two very popular forums. So if you're on Reddit a lot and you're a fan of the Watch People Die or Gore subreddits, they have banned those. I imagine because the video probably popped up on one of those.
Yeah, that probably is the case.
One of the shooters live streamed the massacre on Facebook. And so that video has been making the rounds, and somebody probably posted it to Reddit. So, listen, what can I tell you? You're on Reddit a lot. If you love those subreddits, you're like, oh, my day's not complete without going to watch people die. Eh, you'll live another day. Hey, Jim.
Yo.
What's going on?
What's going on, Alan? How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hey, you guys just got done talking a little bit ago about accidental scalping.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I'm from Brunswick. Don't take it out on me.
All right.
But we used to have a go-kart track right next to the lake. And this guy had a long ponytail. And it got wrapped in the motor behind the seat.
Oh,
boy.
Oh.
And he ripped the entire, his entire head was just bald. You know, he ripped his scalp off. And we were waiting in line, and he reached up and felt it, and he probably had the salty hands from the steering wheel. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was thinking about 12 years old. When that happened.
So what happened to that guy?
I don't know. The EMS got there. They took him. His hair was all tangled in the engine.
Jesus Christ.
So gross.
Accidental scalping.
Accidental scalping at the Agora this weekend. All right. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
I didn't have something that serious, but when we were little kids, my cousin had a game, something about like the dog house or something like that. And there was a little dog that had electronic wheels and it would bark and roll around the game board. And it was either my little sister or my cousin. One of them picked up the dog to listen to it bark, and the wheels got all caught up in their hair. We had to cut all their hair off. I mean, I can't remember if it was my cousin or my sister, but I distinctly remember that happening at my aunt's house, and we were freaking, because we're a bunch of kids. We're freaking out. You're just trying to pull it out. It's just not happening.
Wow.
Ugh.
Isn't there some video of, like, a girl using a drill or something for some like online challenge, and it like rips a bunch of her hair out?
There's a ton of stuff like that all over the internet. There's girls that are doing like hair and makeup tutorials, and they'll like leave it on the curling iron for way too long, and then
it like burns off.
Or the whole piece will just come off of their head. And they just are sitting there looking at it. Like, those are some of the best reactions that you'll see. They're so funny.
Looking back on
I should take my advice from you, tutorial girl, is what you're trying to tell me.
Looking back on my carpentry days, I don't know how I did not get hurt. I didn't ever, like...
You get, like, a sleeve in there or something?
Yeah,
I was always like, so careful working construction. I'd see guys, they were so careless. One of the dudes stepped over a diamond-bladed saw, and just, he, like, set it down, and the blade's still spinning, and he stepped over it and tripped over it, and then it cut the back of his leg and, like, cut his Achilles tendon. I was like, dude, why are you stepping over, like... Nothing's built yet. There's nothing but room here.
Yeah.
And you walk over the thing with a blade?
I'd be idiots. Like, turn it off, wait for it to stop spinning, set it over here.
Walk around it.
Walk around, and give it a wide berth.
And that's the thing. I knew I wasn't ever going to be like a carpenter, so I just was doing the class to get the grade and you know, just trying to get by. So I'm sure there was times where I was careless, and I would never put anybody else in harm's way, but like... Myself, I just wasn't thinking about it. Not like I wasn't planning on getting hurt, but I'm just like, whatever. Yep, put this through the saw, whatever. Had my, I used to wear, we used to have carpentry hoodies, and we had the drawstrings just like this. So I'm leaning over the table saw,
and
my
terrifying drawstring,
my drawstrings are just like dangling. Didn't even think about it.
You're dangling drawstrings.
For someone who didn't care about carpentry and didn't want a career in it, and I end up with like, you know, a slashed face because I just wanted a grade. But
if you had a big scar on your face, that'd give you some character.
Yeah, you'd look cool.
You'd look badass.
That'd be real butch, right? Yeah. You like that butchness.
Yeah, I'd get some good sympathy D.
You'd have a story. Sympathy D.
You don't know what I've been through.
Worst rapper of all time.
I wore a hoodie and I got caught in a blade.
Oh, I would come up with every person I would meet, I would come up with a different lie.
There you go. So that way no one ever knows the truth, and it's just all like a mystery.
Oh, I don't know how I got these scars.
Yeah. Well, in the wake of the college bribery cheating scandal, you know, Lori Loughlin has been cut from the Hallmark Channel. They said she will probably lose her Fuller House gig. And her daughter, the Instagram influencer, who was the beneficiary of all that cheating. See, that's the worst thing about it. You spend all that money and time, now you're charged with a crime.
And
your daughter didn't even want to really go to school.
Right.
She just wanted to be on Instagram. Anyway, footage has popped up of this girl involved in another cheating situation with some TV game show she was on that was rigged in her favor.
The Olivia girl?
Yeah. She took on another influencer and a singer in an episode of a show called Tap That Awesome App.
Never heard of it.
I haven't either, but I don't expect that it's for me. And one of the other girls was declared the winner in front of a live audience. And then they stopped the shoot, and producers came in and told the other two girls that they were going to reshoot it, but that they had to give incorrect answers. And that the Lori Loughlin daughter would buzz in with the correct answer. And she won $5,000 to a charity of her choice. So when they reshot the questions, she was the only one that was allowed to buzz in with a correct answer.
Wow.
The hell
for
is this?
Charity. It's for charity.
But that's not even her fault. She had no power in that.
But what is his family doing? No, you go, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you say, hey, man, just let them win.
So blame the producers. The producers should say, hey, no, this isn't right.
Yeah, you're right. She has no culpability in this whatsoever.
She doesn't. She's a contestant. Who wouldn't want $5,000?
It's not for her. And what I'm saying is that none of them are directly benefit. They're not getting the money.
But she also...
There's no reason to cheat. Just give it to the charity.
Didn't win.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the producer's fault.
Awesomeness TV.
Invited I feel like I'm going to throw up. I can't even listen to this. For as many like basic bitch trends that I'm on, this story is making my skin crawl.
Also, I hate to break it to you. I don't care if you're an influencer, whatever the hell you are. There are no shortcuts. There just aren't. Everybody thinks that like the path to superstardom is through like the apps and crap. And like, yeah, if you have millions of followers and you're getting like endorsement money, that's all great, man. But if you're 19 years old, you're not really prepared to handle that.
And you're also, it doesn't mean you're going to have longevity either.
Right.
It's going to be good for a while, and then people are going to be like, eh, there's a new 19-year-old that I'm into.
People are stupid.
Listen, and don't believe the hype. I was reading about this Lily Singh. You know who Lily Singh is?
Nope.
She's been online. She's been on YouTube since like 2010. She's like OG. And she's really popular. Very pretty Indian girl. And she, her handle was Superwoman. And I think she's written some books. And I mean, she's pretty well known, okay? They just gave her Carson Daly's slot on NBC. Carson Daly, after 17 years, goes, I'm leaving Last Call with Carson Daly. The show... They were still going to put something there, so they grabbed this Lily Singh, who's she's got like 14 million followers on YouTube, right?
Isn't that crazy that someone would have that many followers and we've never heard of her?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I have heard of her.
I mean, that's you have, but I mean,
so
like...
if I've heard of her, you know she's popular, because I shouldn't even know
who
that
is. She's got 14 million followers. She's obviously popular, but I'm just saying, like, that's how fragmented popularity is now, where it's not like all... Like, there's so many different lanes that you can have 14 million... And not be a household name.
But to my point with her having four, and she's, I think she's legit funny and, you know, whatever. But when people go, oh, nobody watches TV anymore, this is how great it still is to be on network TV, right? NBC went to a YouTuber with 14 million subscribers and said, would you like a show at 1:30 in the morning? And she jumped at it.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Daly had like under a million viewers a night. And she's probably not going to do that well.
But she's got the
she'll get a
reach
little spike.
On YouTube.
She'll get a little spike. You can promote it.
Yeah, she'll get...
But that's how great it still is to be on television.
But that's how great it is to be on YouTube, too, where they're going to come to you. They're not going to someone that doesn't have an audience. They're trying to get that crossover audience because they also know that they can use her channel to promote the videos
Absolutely.
That are on NBC.
So Absolutely.
It's like win-win for both of them.
Right. But... provided that a sizable portion of her audience, but she literally, she would need 1/14 of her audience to watch her show, and they'd still be doing better than Carson Daly.
And I bet she doesn't get it though.
No,
they'll watch it on.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not going to watch it on TV.
They're not going to watch it like live. Well, not live, but episode to episode.
And at 1:30 in the morning, that's the time slot too, where NBC's like, we don't really care if people watch it on television. We can like cross promote on your channel.
Yeah, and and that's what they're looking for most of all is that cross promotion. On YouTube and just building up that platform.
But she also could have turned them down and said, hey, I don't need that. I literally don't need that. But that's how people still want to be on television. You know, bands will say like, oh, well, we don't need radio. But if you tell a band, I'm going to put you on the radio, they'll crap themselves.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And there's also levels to it, too. Like, if it's one thing to have your own show, but it's another thing to just like appear on a show. Like we have tons of comedian friends that have done late night spots, and those are, it's just a credit at this point, just so you can say, I was on the Tonight Show, I was on Conan. Mm-hmm. Would I love to get one? Absolutely. But it doesn't,
it's not gonna, it's really not gonna do anything
it
for
doesn't
your career.
Break you in the way it used
it's not
to.
Johnny Carson, but in 1981 where like the night after you did the Tonight Show, everyone knew who you were.
Right.
But if you go on an incredibly popular podcast like Your Mom's House or
Joe Rogan,
WTF or Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is the new
Joe Rogan will do more like for your career than Conan ever will.
Yeah,
but he talks to you for 3 hours.
But that's
it. Doesn't matter. But he has audience, a rabid
and the audience is there for the whole 3 hours.
Good for him.
So if someone, it's one thing to do 5 minutes of stand up on the Tonight Show, but if you're there for 3 hours and people like you
and can get to know you and feel a connection,
then you have
to you.
Fans that end up being fans for life.
That's how Bert got like one of his big, like a lot of guys came from Joe Rogan's podcast. Got their big bump from that.
Bert Kreischer. All those guys. Yeah.
Maron just did his 1,000th episode, by the way.
Who was on?
He pulled Brendan out and they just talked about the show and you know,
cool.
But yeah, he's been doing that thing for 10 years now. He kind of legitimized that whole platform. Mm-hmm. So good for him. Saved him from jumping off a roof somewhere, too.
Right?
Yeah, because that's a guy that was grinding for 25 years before he really hit.
Sure. Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Oh, hey, who's this?
This is your buddy, Timothy Mozgov.
Oh, hey, what's up, Mozgov?
Formerly of Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I remember you, buddy.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing all right. I'm just excited for this St. Patrick's Day weekend we got coming up here. We're going to do a bar crawl and a little 5K on Sunday. It's going to be a good time.
There's nothing, Bill.
What's that?
There's nothing.
There's nothing?
No, that's nothing.
That's nothing? What are you going to do?
At home in Russia.
You're at home in Russia for St. Patrick's Day?
No, no, at home in Russia.
Oh.
Follow along, Bill.
Okay, I'm trying. It's Friday.
I know, and Moscow hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
We don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
What do you celebrate?
We do all the same things. We celebrate St. Sergius of Radonjic. It's just as fun, Bill.
Definitely just, rolls off the tongue pretty
just
well.
Just as fun.
What do you guys do? Just drink a bunch of vodka, eat a bunch of potatoes? Any corned beef?
We'll have corned goat. First we paint all of our livestock green. We'll have some corned goat. We'll get drunk on my favorite beer, Bill.
What's your favorite beer?
Coors Light.
Oh, a Russian classic.
And then, of course, tradition, we'll run the 50K. You say you run the 5K?
Yeah, 5K. You run a 50K.
We run the 50K.
How long does it take you to run a 50K?
Not long. Moscow have very big steps.
Mm-hmm.
Very tall.
So like 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours?
I can run the 50K in about 42 minutes.
Damn.
Yes, I'm very fast.
How come you're not that fast on the basketball court?
Because they don't play me, Bill.
Nah.
They pay me. They don't play me.
That's right, they do.
Did you see that the Magic? You know, I play for Orlando Magic.
You're on the team, yeah.
I am on the team, Bill. You saw we beat the Cavaliers.
I did see that.
That was bittersweet for the Moscow.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
You don't like to beat your old teams?
I don't like to beat anything. I don't like to beat my goats. I don't like to beat Mrs. Mozgov. But sometimes, Bill, you know what I'm saying.
I don't actually know what you're saying.
Sometimes,
are you saying that you beat your wife sometimes?
That's not what I'm saying.
It seems like that's what you're saying. I know you guys bang every 3 minutes. I didn't know.
That's what I meant. Lost in translation.
I'm sorry, you beat the frame out of the bed.
And sometimes I bang a goat, and sometimes I bang my wife. I'm sorry. I did not mean beat.
Don't. Well, okay, so you're having sex with goats?
My American slang, not too good. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Bang, Mrs. Mozgov.
Jeez.
Not beat. I'm sorry. But yeah, I don't play, Bill. It's very sad.
It is very sad.
And now they've downgraded me to talking to kids.
That's...
I have to tell you, like, the boys' clubs or whatever.
Well,
I tell them, oh, I'm feeling great because I'm eating nutritious foods and I'm working hard on my knees or blah, blah, blah.
I'd love to hear one of your speeches sometime. Maybe you can live stream it or something so that we can follow along when it's happening.
I just read you my whole speech.
That's the whole speech? It's two lines. A healthy blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Moscow meant a few words, Bill.
Yeah.
So the kids were not very nice to me, but...
Do you beat the kids?
No, no, no. I don't beat them or do anything awful to them, no.
Oh, that's good.
They were not nice to me, but I did learn a bunch.
Did they make fun of you? Did they call you names?
Moscow learned a bunch of new your mother jokes.
Can you share a couple?
Let me see if I wrote a couple down here. Your mother's teeth are so yellow. When she smiles at traffic, you slow down.
That's pretty funny. Is that true about your mom?
My mother is dead, Bill.
I know. She died
in childbirth, giving birth to my older brother. I told you a story before. You know Moscow's story, Bill.
I do. But you're going to play your mom in the movie.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Your mother is so fat, she brought a spoon to the Super Bowl.
Stupid.
These are all children make fun of me with.
That's very insensitive of them to make fun of your dead mom.
That's what I told them. I said, shut up, Orlando students. Your mama's so fat. She was baptized at SeaWorld. I don't know what that means. I don't know what SeaWorld means.
She's really big, so they had to go to a really big body of water in order to, like, the size a whale would need to get her all the way underwater.
Your mama's so stupid. She went to dentist to get Bluetooth. And I don't bear it. Listen, that's enough. It's making me sad now.
Your poor mom.
Poor Mrs. Mosgov.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Anyway, enjoy your St. Vlad's or whatever you're doing on Sunday.
Thanks, we will.
I'll talk to you again. I love you.
All right, love you too, buddy.
Later.
Oh, Mosgov.
See you later, Bill.
Bye.
I love you.
Later.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye. You hang up.
Your mom is so fat, Thanos had to snap twice. I like that one. Whoever sent me that. It's nerdy. Checks a lot of boxes.
Hey, good news today in the world of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
People have been texting me.
Yeah.
About James Gunn.
Right. He's back.
So how do you think that happened? Because he kind of got slightly... He got caught up in... not a Me Too, but...
No,
was
it? It wasn't a Me Too. It was just...
old tweets.
Old tweets that he made. And then because he's so political... He's very political on Twitter. So all these like alt-right dudes dug up these old tweets and sent them, you know, and like wrote these blogs about him. And Disney fired him real quick. And then... Now they're like, well, no, we may have been a little bit hasty.
Well, they probably fired him for PR anyway.
Yeah.
And then just, but I thought they...
But then hiring him back is also PR.
But so. I thought somebody else hired him to do another...
yeah, he's doing two movies. So he's doing the Suicide Squad sequel, and he's doing Guardians 3.
With what's-his-name is replacing Will Smith.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who is?
Oh, God. Suicide Squad...
I didn't know that was official.
Yeah, Will Smith couldn't do it because Idris Elba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ooh, it's going to play.
I actually like that even better.
Yeah. I like him.
Idris Elba, who was in the Thor franchise.
Yeah, I like him a lot, but they keep trying to make Idris Elba a thing. And for as talented as he seems to be, and as British as he is, and as good looking as everybody considers him, he just hasn't He had a show on BBC called Luther, where he plays a detective. Love that show. I think there's another season coming. Love that.
Charles Minor, in The Office.
Right, he's in The Office. He was Stringer Bell on The Wire.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I first saw him. Was
so
Stringer.
He's done a lot of things, man, and I like him a lot. Anything he's in, I dig him. He's got some new show on Netflix.
He was Sexiest Man Alive.
Sexiest Man Alive. He's got a new show called Turn Up Charlie that I think drops today. As a matter of fact.
He just hosted Saturday Night Live last week, and that was a pretty funny episode.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was pretty decent.
There's always rumors about him being James Bond, which they kind of alluded to.
He's so hot.
One of those sketches. Is he?
He is.
Okay.
Do you know what, though? And it might be because I saw him first as Stringer Bell, where he is a very good-looking dude.
Right.
And he's tall and built and all that good stuff. But just his, like, attitude and swag and coolness. But also, he knows exactly what he's doing. Again, these are characters he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
But...
He's a hoe.
Oh, you think so?
I know so.
Oh, you know so? How do you know so?
Because word on the street is he just slays all, like, the ratchets of Hollywood.
Dude, if you
so
were...
So what?
If
I
you
would,
were
too. Yeah.
Idris Elba, you wouldn't?
No, I would. I'm just saying. I'm making an observation. I'm not.
Who are the ratchets of Hollywood?
He sleeps with girls
probably
from
Klinger-ons.
Like Love and Hip Hop. No, like reality TV stars. Like you guys wouldn't know her, but her name's Kay Michelle. And
oh, I know her. No, I don't.
I know you wouldn't know her, but she has.
No, hey, good for him. Like he's got a.
I would.
I think he's got a grown kid. Yeah. And, you know,
go get it.
Sure.
Go do
it's
it.
It's the same thing where I couldn't tell if I was attracted to Iron Man. I'm like, do I like this kid? Do I like Tony Stark? Or, I can't think of that. Who the
Robert Downey Jr.
I almost said Robert Lowe.
which is not. That's number two in Austin Powers. Robert Downey Jr. I'm like, I can't tell which one of you I like, if it's Robert Downey Jr. or if that's the same guy.
Yeah, he was in Prometheus, too, one of the Alien sequels.
Oh, he's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a great career, and
he does a lot of stuff.
He was grinding for a while. I mean, like, his first big break was The Wire, but that show really didn't get like acclaim when it was on.
Right.
So good for him for having his glow up now.
I like when he was in like those old, like Guy Ritchie British mob movies.
Oh yeah,
he's like Rockarolla, and yeah. I don't know if he's
is he in Snatch?
I don't know.
No.
Might
I don't
be
think he's in Snatch. No.
Yeah. All right.
He was in a movie with Beyonce. Chick went crazy.
Mandela?
Beyonce was his wife, and his like he hired this secretary who I think it was called like Obsessed or something like that.
Obsessed, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she like went nuts and like became obsessed with him and like broke into their house and was holding their kid and stuff. Beyonce laid it down. She's not having it like that. There's a good chick fight. They're like fighting in the attic and like fall and it's crazy.
Allie Larder from Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
Was the white girl.
Yeah.
When Beyonce had red hair, I was like, this is so unbelievable. And Beyonce was not the
The unbelievable part that Beyonce has red hair.
Not
all the other stuff.
Everything was off. Like it was Beyonce's first like non singing role in a movie, and
I think she played the part well.
I don't think she did.
I haven't seen the movie in a long time, but I watch trash movies. I love trash movies.
You want to see crazy? I'll show you crazy.
Yeah.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
I've only seen her in
My Saturday.
In the Austin Powers movie.
Yeah, Goldmember.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm. She is Foxy.
And I'm a whole lot of woman. That's what she says.
There's a what?
He's singing and dancing. Solid gold. I used to know that whole dance. Me and my friend. Solid gold. Continue, Alan.
You know, we've got our pop star scandals over here, but nothing like what they've got in South Korea. There are two huge South Korean boy band members who have had to retire from entertainment because their two bands are in interlocking sex scandals.
Oh.
Do you ever in Asia, if you're caught in one of these things, by and large, like you're kind of ostracized from the, you know, they have different ideas of what you can plow your way through and what you can't.
It's the Chinese finger trap of sex scandals.
It is. South Korea is dealing with one member of a super group called Big Bang. I mean, they're just telling you what to expect. He bowed in front of 100 journalists. And by the way, boy bands over in Asia are a lot of like 30-year-old guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not teenagers.
K-pop or whatever?
K-pop. Yeah. Korean pop. So this guy, they're caught up in like sexual bribery allegations. His stage name, R. Kerry. That's not true. Jung Jun Young is the other guy. And, that they secretly filmed themselves having sex with women and then shared the videos. So all the things that we would consider to be normal pop star behavior over here in South Korea, the good Korea, they go, I've got to retire from entertainment immediately because I'm supposed to be a role model.
Yeah, that's what makes you a star here.
Right,
right. Doing all that stuff,
and then you're a star, and there it ends your career.
Not only that, but over there, the boy bands, they can afford to lose a guy because there's like 16 dudes in the band. He was posting his sex videos in a Kakao Talk group chat room. Again, I don't know what any of these things are.
But I guess if you don't have the rights to it, like if you, the other person doesn't know you're doing it, that's pretty gross to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the sex tapes that get out there are pretty orchestrated, you know, behind the scenes. They know what they're doing.
They, like
Kim Kardashian and Ray J both knew they were filming that session. If one of the persons doesn't know, that's real gross.
Right.
His band made $44 million year before last, and he has a very diverse portfolio, including a ramen franchise and a dance academy. So there you go. See, when these guys, by the way... even if you're in a boy band, you still have to do mandatory military service. So it'd be like if they made the guys in NSYNC go into the army or whatever.
For how long? Year? 5 years?
Two years.
Huh, wow.
Yeah, you got to go into the military for 2 years. So
there's a lot of countries that do that.
We haven't cornered the market on sex scandals. It's just a real contrast to how things go down over here, where it's a lot of deny, deny, deny. These guys are bowing in front of like newspaper reporters and stuff.
And they're out.
They're out.
They're out.
We got 14 other guys who will take over for you dudes. So I don't know how many people were involved in these particular peccadilloes.
Sexual threesome.
Might have been.
A sexual threesome.
Idris Elba was in Pacific Rim.
Is it bad that I want to see
Dark Tower? Yeah. Yes, he's been in good movies. Yeah. He's been in some bad movies.
Is it bad that I want to see the sex tape?
Which one?
The Korean one?
The Big Bang or whatever it is.
Is it bad that you want to see a South Korean sex tape?
Yeah, I want to see what homeboy's packing.
Gee, what do you think?
I'm curious to know. You know, I imagine
you could find a go on Kakao Talk and see if it's in one of the chat rooms.
We have our stereotypes, but I want to know if the stereotypes are based in truth. In fact, I want to know.
I want to see Korean pornography.
Specifically him.
Korean pornography. Yeah. Well, his name is Jong Yung Young something. Huh?
Damn it, man. I'm never going to be. I can't spell regular words. I can't spell that.
Just probably search the guy's name. Or not the
Big Bang,
the
Bang is the Bang.
Big Bang Band.
Yeah, I have them pull it up. I just need to. I'll just copy and paste the members.
How many are there? Seven?
Just
five?
Search.
There's five.
Big Bang sex tape.
Come on.
I want to see what gets in there.
No, that's going to be Big Bang Theory. Like,
it's going to be Johnny Galecki rubbing one out.
Right. They're not bad looking guys. I might toss it to him.
Well, they all look the same, for one thing. So
that's racist.
No, it's not.
How dare you?
They look at those guys. They all look the same.
They don't.
That's why they're in the boy band, because they're interchangeable.
Racist.
Because one can come out and they can go, racist. Mister, I want to see what the Korean guy's packing. But I'm racist. Because
I don't want to be. I don't want to have that stereotype.
Yeah, he's trying to dispel stereotypes.
Yes. Right.
Not
sure.
Confirm them.
Yep.
For the greater good.
They're
the greater
all good. Very pretty.
Well, like, yeah, they're very androgynous. And,
sure. Well, they have on eyeliner and lipstick, and like they all look very, very pretty.
Can we hear some of their music?
I don't even know if I have it.
Big Bang K-pop.
Probably songs about bubblegum.
That's sad. They started over 10 years ago. Yeah. Like, in 2006. Are you serious?
Okay, here we go. Here's some.
Okay.
Hey, I can jump to this.
Sure.
So why is it that
I like it?
Why is it that South Korea, because like the Gangnam Style guy was from South Korea, why is it that like South Korea has figured this out, but when you hear pop music from like Eastern European, like Russia, it's awful. Like, so many countries can't figure out what should be a very simple formula, but South Korea, they've got girl bands, boy bands. Yeah.
This is jumping.
Because they're just pulling from what the normal thing is.
You know what? I can't say with any confidence I haven't danced to this before.
Right, you wouldn't know.
I have no idea. Like, this sounds like any other.
So drunk, you're like not paying attention. Like, they're not speaking no United States.
Right. Next house party, you know what's going down.
Yes, I love this.
There you go. Korean trap.
This is lit.
I love it. I would bang these guys. Time. Keep it going.
Here's one called
Bang Bang Bang.
Bang, bang, bang.
This one's called Fantastic Baby.
Bad baby, I love it.
And these are, they're very stylized too. Like, these guys are very.
Oh, yeah, they got the hats. They have the look.
Hairless.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Well, that's why BTS is such a big band worldwide, not just in Korea. Pancakes dancing kills me.
I have glow sticks.
I have glow sticks.
My question is, why do you need 11 guys?
It's five.
To do, huh?
Five is in the actual band. They might have more dancers.
Some of these bands, there's a lot of people. Maybe it's the girl bands where there's, you know, 20 members. Yeah.
They all look so young, though. Like, they're not bad. Like, they're attractive dudes, but they're very feminine looking. But sure. But they all look young.
They're hairless South Korean boys. But they're not. They're like in their late 20s. So anyway, yeah, they've been doing it for a while. Major stars secretly.
Major stars.
Secretly admit to filming women. They've become suspects in a prostitution investigation.
Ooh. They've been to South Florida recently?
I don't know about that.
And on the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Ooh. This is called Flower Road.
Yeah, give me that ballad.
There you go. That's
I don't hate this at all.
It's weird when, like, they put one word in there, or it just kind of, like, the rhythm of it sounds like it could be English, but it's not.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, I'm singing along to this,
yeah,
but I don't know what I'm saying.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and then they start speaking Korean.
Mary's going to get really into K-pop.
I liked that a lot.
No, it's not really bad, honestly. Enjoyed that music. It's very danceable music. Yeah. I see why people like it.
I turned around, and I just had like 16 messages, no lie, on my phone from gays who are like, oh my gosh, Big Bang, the band? They're like, listen to Sunset Glow. I cruise through in the car like, they know.
That's awesome.
Gays. So these K-pop bands are real big with American gay dudes.
I didn't get any text about this band.
I didn't either.
I didn't get one text.
I have 16.
And you get texts from everybody that listens.
Yes.
16 messages. Is that from a group chat? Or is that 16 individual texts?
16 different people. That's crazy. This dude says, goddamn, Big Bang, exclamation mark, question mark. Love that group. No lie. LOL, Sunset Glow. I would cruise around when I get my when I got my license. I've been listening to them since 2009.
Oh, wow. 10 years.
OG. Yeah. Alan, even that Korean band sounds like Pitbull wrote their music. Yeah.
No, so better than Pitbull.
You get that sound.
I like it.
But it's that sound. And if you, I just don't know why some other countries can't nail that.
Fireball.
No. No. And you remember Pale Tone, the Russian rapper?
Love Pale Tone. Now you're talking.
Back
in old days when I had my childish ways, no worries, no babes, just homies playing games, throwing
you like this?
Nope. Never fear the big world. How many times I had my lessons learned?
You just gotta wait for the girl to come in.
My people eat gutters with HIV cause they forgot rubber. Struggling with police and hustle to those who used to tell I wasn't a sucker. I used to watch TV till I fell asleep. Pasta is all I could ever eat. Framing pictures on my table, now I'm able to chill and party. Should I have my own label? Rest in peace is Biggie and Pac. Those who told me what is real rap. As a kid, I dreamed about Mike, and now I know what it's like. Sing it, baby.
Is that karaoke going on right there?
Yeah, it's amazing when you can get out of a girl after you wire her jaw shut.
That sounds just like me.
Alan, you've got to listen to Crayon by G-Dragon.
I love this.
All right. Anyway.
I love that.
Yeah, fun.
I'm going to work out to that. That makes me lift weights and run, doesn't it? And dance.
Hey, whatever gets you moving, right?
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know the words.
Lifting weights and running music.
Well, I don't know the words, so I can't get distracted by it. It's just the beat. Just feel that beat, yo.
Alan, I work at an international boarding school in Willoughby, and the Chinese kids there love that stuff. Well, sure. I see BTS trending on Twitter all the time, and I've never heard of them or researched anything about them. It's kind of annoying, says Steve. BTS. Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't understand why it's annoying.
I thought BTS was behind the scenes.
No, BTS is a K-pop band.
Oh.
And they're like one of the most popular, probably the most popular in the world.
Okay.
I mean, whatchamacallit is making the rounds on the metal circuit. Baby metal, those girls with just those Japanese dudes behind them.
They have a lot. BTS has 247 members. That's crazy.
247 members.
I was counting.
How many members do they have?
100 more. 200 more. 500 probably.
You know, people have said to me before, as much as people make fun of me for my constant application of lip balm, you know, I'm no dummy, and people will often stop me in the street, and they'll go, Alan, how do you stay so sharp? Clearly, you're so sharp, right? You're like, mine's like a steel trap. How do you do it?
You'll be lucky if you'll even be able to run the entire 5K on Sunday without someone stopping you and saying, How'd you get so sharp, Alan?
Yes, I have to just get... I'll tell you later. I got to keep running, right? I moisturize. And that fends off dementia, as it turns out.
Oh, moisturizing? Yeah?
Well, you know, deaths over the past 10 years, deaths from dementia in the United States have doubled in 10 years. And they've done a lot of studies. And if you want to cut your risk of dementia significantly, you moisturize your skin a lot.
Yeah, I have a question.
Which is, again, this is what I tell people. It sounds silly, but they go, how are you so, what do they call me, Bill?
Sharp Allen.
Sharp Allen. How are you so sharp, Allen?
Or moist Allen.
Al Sharpton and I, Sharp Allen.
And I say moisturize. And they walk away thinking I'm crazy.
These dementia deaths.
Crazy like a fox.
That's Does right. dementia kill you, or are these dementia-related accidents?
I think dementia...
Like, are they confused of where they are and walk into traffic?
That's part of it, but also it's a... You know, when they say they died of complications of Alzheimer's, isn't that just because it's such a degenerative disease? Like, your brain just kind of...
Yeah, it breaks your brain down and stuff, but I didn't know if that was... Like, dementia was a thing that could... Do that. So, deteriorate your body to the point of death.
If I'm sure it can. If you can't moisturize your brain, moisturize your skin.
Mm. How do you, if you were to moisturize your brain, how would you do that?
Carefully?
By injection?
Yeah.
Is that what Botox is?
How do you get it in there?
Brain moisturizing?
No, that doesn't. Do you think that Botox goes into your brain?
Yeah, it goes into your bones and your skull.
Those injections
and your knee
go.
Plates.
It's just subdermal.
I know,
yeah.
It just
okay.
Goes into
good.
Your skin.
I don't
I'm
want you
stupid.
Getting them if you think they go into your brain.
No.
All right.
Dumb.
I was getting Botox and I could still play the guitar.
It was crazy.
It's the radio equivalent of Shakespeare. I don't. If you replace the cross-dressing with fart jokes.
Actually, can we keep the cross-dressing too?
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
What a text. 35192. AlanCoxShow.com. Live video stream is there. You can listen from wherever on the iHeartRadio app. And Dr. Ryan Berglund is back. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I told him in the hallway, Mary, this is your first Is It Red.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met Ryan before?
No, we just met in the office.
Well, you don't know. I told him, I said, you look thinner every time I... Bill, doesn't he look thinner every
That's
time?
That's great, though.
I hesitate to refer to him as previously portly, but even by his own admission, you know, he wanted to lose some weight. Is it still keto?
Over a year.
Wow.
And I've gotten maybe 20 guys to do it. We have a text thing going where we just text each other our finger stick keto levels.
Yeah.
There
it's kind of weird, you know.
But let me ask you this, because all I see, all I read is how unsustainable keto is. Right? You read all kinds of things. Somebody, you know, people will say, well, it's just they rebranded Atkins and now it's something else, and it's nothing you can do for a long period of time. And there's some you're a doctor. It's worked for you. You would know the ins and outs of it. What am I missing with people who say, well, it's good for a while? A lot of people would say, can't do it indefinitely. But that seems to be what you've done, and you look great.
So, first of all, I am not a nutritionist I'm a urologist.
Right.
And so I'm not an expert at this. I will tell you what's great about it is you're never hungry. I'm literally never hungry, which is unbelievable.
But it takes a minute to get to that point, right?
It was pretty quick.
Was it pretty quick?
It's within the first week, right?
Okay. Just, you know, I'd be in a long surgery and I'd get very hungry. It's incredibly distracting. And you know, the running joke is that they had a bag of candies that they kept near the OR and, you know, in case of emergency break glass kind of situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They'd have to feed candy to me. You're never hungry. It's incredible. It really has to do with, more than anything else, low carbs.
Yeah.
Just not taking in the carbs that creates insulin. Insulin makes you produce fat and makes you hungry.
So you just know what's worked for you and your 20 friends.
Yeah, I
essentially.
Mean, the guy who has the office next to me has lost 60 pounds on it in four months. And he loves it. He's never hungry. Looks great. I have a couple of buddies that are a couple of guys that are doctors at UH that are good friends of mine. We text back and forth with our numbers and it was started by our residents. One of our residents is an ex-Apple engineer who took a real deep dive into diets and just figured out what was going on, and he turned a lot of us onto this keto diet. And
you have a guy who went from being an Apple engineer to medical school.
These
brainiacs walking around, man.
He was very successful. He was a Stanford engineer, went to Apple, was an engineer, and then he had one of these moments where he said, "You know, I've always wanted to be a doctor.
I've always wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Oh, I'm an engineer now. Why not?"
Sure.
He was interesting. He was at Northwestern Medical School.
His name's Dr. Apple.
You're Timothy Apple.
He met a woman that he fell in love with, and he wanted to look good at his wedding, and so that's why he took the deep dive into the diet. And the guy is really fit, looks fantastic.
Wow!
I saw him in the hallway on the way out to the show today, and he is just he's figured the whole thing out, and then he's kind of the life coach getting us all through this diet.
Now, is it something? That is best if you want to lose that kind of weight? Like, I'm in the process of losing, I want to lose 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you would do for that, or just take a more traditional approach to it? Is it best for people who are like, I got to get rid of 50 pounds? Yeah.
So I'll answer that. One of the guys that I text with is an orthopedic surgeon at UH. He was already fit. He was already in good shape. But he was hungry all the time. He was constantly having to struggle with what he was eating and how he was working out. And this has just been really easy because, and by the way, I'm saying this as a citizen and not as from someone.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm
right.
Going to call from the
anecdotal
nutritionist.
Evidence.
Yeah, no, this is just your experience.
The nutritionists are going to call me and say, "What are you talking about?" Right. He needed something that was simple, and what's simple about this is you don't need to count calories. All you need to do is just stick to the high fat,
right,
low carb diet, and you're not hungry, and it just works. But now he does finger sticks. You can track your ketone levels, and as long as you keep your ketone levels up, you're
in ketosis.
You're not producing insulin. You're in ketosis. So,
wow.
It's crazy though that it's become so popular that it's hard to find the keto foods because they're just selling out so quickly.
Sure. Oh, you look dynamite.
I've always wanted to try it, but I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't have butter or cheese or any of that stuff. And it seems like that's, you cook everything in like butter. People putting butter in their coffee and, you know, cheese, the high fats and everything like that.
Avocado, coconut oil. There are other ways you can do it. There's other substitutes.
Yeah.
All
right, let's get to Is It Right? The real reason we're here is...
Not the keto.
I know.
Is it right? Does it itch? Does it hurt like a bitch? Is it right? Is it right? Is it right?
All right, Dr. Berglund has joined us for many years now. He is a urologist from the Cleveland Clinic. Guys, if you've got some weird stuff going on down there, he will be happy to help in any way that he can. If you want to call in an issue you've got, 216-578-1007, 800-348-1007. You can text me, 35192. And if you'd like to email a question, you can certainly do that as well. Let me go to Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Not too much. I mean, other than my problem.
Okay, what's that?
The whole thing isn't a problem. I guess we'll see what the doctor has to say. I mean, I don't know. I've had some issues going on. I have a sciatic nerve problem in my back.
Okay.
And it goes through like my whole right side, through my leg, to my foot, and everything. And it's been going on since like November of last year. And just last week, I mean, it made my right ball hurt so bad, and it swelled up. But this week, it's better, and the ball's not swollen. I don't know if that can that cause that, or should I make an appointment to see a urologist?
The question always is with pain in the testicle: is the pain coming from the testicle, or is it a nerve problem? And you know. You certainly could have a nerve problem that's causing this. The only thing that would argue against that is that the testicle also swelled up. So you could also have had a temporary infection or something going on in the testicle itself. So, if it went away, I would just not worry about it. If it's still going on and there is some swelling of the testicle, there's some easy ways to examine and even do tests to see if it's potentially an infection of the testicle. You can treat that. And if it's a nerve problem, you got to treat the nerve.
Yeah, the swelling is gone this week. So that's what I'm wondering, if it is the nerve thing that's causing it.
It sounds a lot more like it's a testicle problem, though, if you were swelling in the testicle.
So I should go see a urologist then.
Potentially, if it's still going on, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Here's an email, and this will get, a lot of times when people email me, they get very detail-oriented, and these things, they only mean something to Dr. Berglund, so they might get a little, you know. I had a vasectomy in the middle of November, went in for my lab tests 3 months following. The motility line was 74%. Are those numbers high?
Yes. Now, you know, so it's going to be sperm count and motility. So he should have non-motile sperm, and it should be very rare. Very low counts of sperm. So that's still
Do those numbers suggest a possible failure in the procedure?
No, because he's still just a few months out.
You still got to clean the pipes, right?
Correct. Yeah. That's correct. But there will be people who fail, and we have, you know, all of us who do these, we have to do redos every now and then. The tubes can fuse back together. So that's why you got to get checked. There are a lot of pregnancies out there that were guys who did not get checked after the vasectomy was done. So let me be very clear. If you get your vasectomy, make sure you get cleared.
If you're going to go to those lengths, be very diligent in your post-op.
You better do the follow-up.
Yeah.
Have I told you about my friend who has five kids now?
Oh, no.
Seriously, I have a friend who has five kids. He wanted three. The third pregnancy were twins. And then after his vasectomy, he didn't get checked.
At that point, you just chop the whole thing off, right? Like, this thing clearly is...
No, this isn't working out for me.
Yeah. And the couple, they're worn out. I mean,
five kids.
Jesus.
Next week's your busy time too, right? With the
March Madness
and everything.
We have
people get snipped before March Madness.
Oh, it's crazy!
What a weird correlation. Like
it has. We have 20% more vasectomies in the month of March than any other time of year. The next highest is December.
That's so weird.
Because people want to get cut, and then they'll sit at home and watch the tournament on TV.
No hassles.
Yeah. Sit on a bag of frozen peas and watch the games.
For like recover. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. I was like. Why are they wanting to make babies?
They're losing
this time
bets.
What a weird bet to lose.
One of our surgeons is actually, he and a buddy have already approached me. I think it's like a big video game release or something like that. And they've already scheduled for the video game release because they know they've got a pass for that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That
you can just sit.
They're not going to get hassled. And
Hey, Stripper Scott.
Hey, everybody.
What's going on?
Hey, on a similar note, did you guys get that tweet I sent you? It was a commercial for BW3 by Bob Menery, where they referenced some sort of March Madness special vasectomy chair that keeps your boys cool with the beer.
Something to look into, you know. There's a lot of vasectomy entrepreneurship out there. Yeah. Well, okay, what's up, Scott?
Yeah, okay, so I had some kidney stones a little over a year ago, and I was just wondering, since Dr. Berglund is a urologist, when I first went in, my urologist said that to get the stones, he was going to send them out to be analyzed. Then when I gave them to him, he said, I can tell you they're just calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate. I don't need to analyze them, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. So he was supposed to get them analyzed, but every time I go back, every couple months, there's never any results. Right. I don't think they ever got sent out. Should I be worried? I mean, they're gone. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't want to just, like, you know, just start accusing the guy.
Have you had stones before, or is this a one-time episode?
This was a one-time, and from what I looked up on you know, the internet, they didn't look like the struvite, the spiky infection-based ones. These were just some...
And a lot of stones can have mixed composition, where it starts out as one thing, and then it acts as a nidus for other stones types to grow on. I don't get terribly worried about the patient who's had a single episode of stones. The problems are the multiple episode patients, and where the stone, what the stone is made of, helps us in determining what, you know, potentially what the problem is and what we can do to reduce the risk of developing them. So yeah, it's a bummer that you don't have the stone type there. But if you're not a recurrent stone form, it's probably not the biggest deal. But if you have another one, you really need to figure out what's going on and what you can do to prevent them. They're very common. The statistic, I think, is that 11% of patients that go through the ER are for kidney stones. I know I'm going to get called on this, but it's an incredibly high.
It's 11 and a half. Take that, dummy.
Yeah. How'd you even graduate?
My friends in the ER are going to call me and say, you're totally wrong. But you know,
how'd you get into Harvard?
Come on.
It costs a lot of money.
Yeah, was it?
$500,000. Mm-hmm.
Cheating on the SAT there?
Yeah, the D in PhD stands for dummy.
All right, good luck, Scott.
All right, cool. See you guys.
All right, buddy. There you go. Are pilar cysts only treated by being cut out? Somebody texted.
You know, Yes and no. If they're recurrent and they're persistent, they do need to be excised. Some of their some of them will kind of resolve and drain.
I'm a 40-year-old white male. I'm on Androgel for about a month and a half with no results. Should I continue or seek injections? Always tired, zero sex drive. What is Androgel?
Androgel is a testosterone replacement.
Okay.
So, and people can use it. It's an anabolic steroid. So there are some guys in the gym who are taking this in excess to get to build muscle mass. It is testosterone. It's a way of absorbing testosterone. First
of
all,
a lot of baseball players used because they didn't know they were using, well, they say they didn't. I don't know that it's just a gel. I thought it was, you know, to make my muscles less sore.
Exactly, you know, the clear or the cream or whatever they were called, you know. So it's a way of absorbing testosterone. The first thing you have to do is if you're on testosterone, you should be getting your testosterone levels checked. Because if your testosterone levels are normal and you're still having symptoms, it's not a testosterone-related problem. The second thing is there are some people that just will not absorb testosterone through their skin. And those patients do have to go on injections. There are now long-acting injections out there, and there's a way to deliver testosterone pellets that are an injection under the skin that lasts for a year. Mm. So there are ways of treating you if you're if you just don't absorb it, but you first need to make sure that it's a problem of not absorbing testosterone. I had a patient come in today who was complaining about his libido, and we've checked his, and he wants me to give him testosterone replacement, but his testosterone level is normal. And so the first thing I told him is that, you know, testosterone is one potential explanation of having diminished libido, but libido is a complicated problem. It also can be psychological. And so, you know, perhaps in his case, it's psychological, could be something else that's going on.
You might be tired of having sex with the person you're having sex with.
And you know, when patients complain of fatigue, testosterone is one potential reason you can have fatigue, but it could also be, gosh, you're working hard, you've got something else going on.
Diet, there's a ton of things. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that can cause fatigue, not just testosterone.
Hey, John.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, John?
Okay, so I had a weird problem that I can't figure out for the longest time. For some reason, my semen smells like shrimp.
Mm. But stop smelling it. You don't have keto crotch, do you?
Oh, no.
All right.
I thought it was like a high sodium thing, but it's not, because I kind of like watch it now, and it's still the problem. Like, I don't know.
But wait, why are you smelling it?
Yeah.
Because, like, it would, like, dry. Or...
It's so...
Clean it up!
Wait. I thought maybe it was so potent that it was getting all the way out, wafting up to his nasal passages.
Just putting it right up to his nose. Like, this is the first thing I do when I'm done.
Yeah, but he said drying and, like, just be more hygienic.
Leave him alone.
I was smelling the couch cushions the other day, and it really smelled...
No, it's just something I like noticed. I'm usually good about cleaning, you know.
Yeah.
I try to be.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, really? There's a lot going on there.
I mean, there are sometimes you can have infections that show up in the semen, but I doubt that's it. Diet can sometimes influence the way that the semen looks or smells. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what to say. If you don't have an infection, it's just something about the way you're put together, I guess.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to be a good way to get the ladies, huh?
There you go. Drink more pineapple juice.
Yeah.
Old frontier medicine. Yeah. All right. Thank you, John. Sorry about that, buddy. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I had a question for Dr. Berglund about a concern.
All right, sir.
Okay, I kind of got like this... like a blood blister right at the head of my penis there, right by the slit where you urinate. And I've had it for, I don't know, about 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And the question is what?
I don't know. It's just a concern. Is it, it's not normal. It's like a growth. Should I be concerned? Should I have it removed? If I have it removed, what's the process?
If it's a benign lesion like an angiokeratoma, you usually get those more on the skin as opposed to on the glands. Those can be removed if they're really unsightly, but they're benign. You always worry about a lesion on the glands. You worry about it being potentially an infection. You know, whether it's herpes or a wart or syphilis or what have you. So. usually, you know, herpes or syphilis would be an ulcerative lesion. So it could start off as a little boil, but it ruptures, and in the case of herpes, it's very painful. This has been going on for 4 months.
Yeah, 4 to 6 months. It's just solid, and it doesn't hurt. There's no pain or anything. It's like a reddish purple color, but and it's small, but there's no pain to it. But it's just unsightly, and I just had a concern. That's all.
Sometimes sometimes it's worth having somebody take a look at it. Could be a wart. Could be I mean, there are all kinds of bizarre things I can come up with here, and there's some there's some concerning things. Some people can get a Kaposi sarcoma that shows up on the penis, but usually you have something else going on, some type of immunosuppression.
You get that with HIV sometimes. You used to,
exactly,
right?
Any type.
I get that when I go to Olive Garden.
What?
The Kaposi sarcoma. No, it is delicious, boy. Yeah. Unlimited breadsticks with that.
Molluscum contagiosum. There are a number of things that can cause lesions. You'd have to have somebody look at it.
All right, doctor. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, Mike. God, I heard somebody... You know what? Well, of course you know. Phimosis?
Yes.
I heard somebody talking about phimosis, which I think is like when you're... Is that when you're not circumcised? Or when you are circumcised?
You have to be uncircumcised.
Right. Yeah. And then, but if you have diabetes...
Yeah.
You can get necrosis on it or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to get it recircumcised or the tip falls off.
What is it?
I heard somebody talking about this. I don't remember where it was.
We're talking about those moments where...
Piecing it together.
You get that sympathy pain or whatever. Yeah, that's it. My skin's crawling.
That's a common problem. And so that's one problem. I'll tell you another problem is even worse. Mm-hmm. So there's phimosis, which is a foreskin that can't be reduced.
Okay.
And it can cause urinary problems.
It's already so tight.
The unstoppable foreskin. They try to reduce it, but they cannot stop it.
But, it's actually a very common problem. And it's just the foreskin is so tight, you can't reduce it. And it can cause some hygiene problems and urinary problems, a lot of other problems. But then there's its cousin, which is an even worse problem, which is paraphimosis. Paraphimosis is when you reduce the foreskin, but you can't pull it back. And that acts as a constrictive band, and it can cause the glands, the head of the penis, to swell up.
And it's like your hands in a glove that's too tight.
Oh, it can be really, really, really rough problem. Both of them can be solved by removing the foreskin, so a circumcision or even a little slit in the foreskin. And then with the paraphimosis, one way you can deal with it, it's
just like a challenging. Nice tapered or like that, a pleated foreskin.
Oh my God.
Pleated wide whale corduroys.
With a paraphimosis, if you grab the head of the penis and you squeeze it really hard, you can slowly oftentimes pull the foreskin back. But people go into the emergency room for this.
You do that stuff?
I mean, I've had to do a few over the years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember my last phimosis. It was like it was yesterday.
That's often an assignment for the most junior resident.
Yeah, right. Hey, Frank, go handle that phimosis. Hey, Apple engineer, go handle that phimosis. Never saw that sitting behind a computer, did you? Let me go to George. Hi, George.
Hey, Doc. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. So I've been dealing with this issue for like a couple years now, and I've been to like 6 different doctors, and everyone seems to not be able to figure out what's going on. So I originally went to a doctor. I had a little bump on the tip there. They said I had eczema, gave me some cream, didn't work. So then I decided I should probably go to a urologist. They said, okay, you got HPV. They gave me something called Albera. Mm-hmm. I tried that. They gave me a chemical burn and completely messed things up, made it way worse than what it was to begin with. Got rid of the bump. But then I had a chemical burn.
Right.
That finally healed, and now the skin just pretty much everywhere. It chafes. It's red all the time. Mm. I've gone back to other doctors. They tried to say it was psoriasis, but I have it nowhere else on my body. I've tried, hydrocortisone, this and that, and nothing seems to get rid of it. I've had it clear up, and it just comes right back, and it's just, like, pretty embarrassing.
Did you go to a doctor or Tyler Durden for a chemical burn? You're part of Project Mayhem now. You have a higher calling.
You know, I got to tell you that at some point, if it's a really severe problem, you can get a biopsy to prove what it is. And so you can get psoriasis on the penis, and it is a problem. And it you know, can come and go, and it can look unsightly, and it's uncomfortable to have. So obviously, I'm not there taking a look at it, but a dermatologist can get a biopsy of that and prove or disprove what it is. So
see, that's the thing too, is I've been to so many doctors, and the urologist that originally gave me the cream, that gave me the chemical burn, wanted to do laser surgery after that. Mm-hmm. I stopped going to her after that. I didn't really trust her, but I'm kind of afraid, you know, to kind of get anything cut off there, because every single time I seem to go to the doctor, it just, whatever they give me, whatever they do, either doesn't work or it makes it worse.
You know,
and it is very, 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 very it's embarrassing, you know?
I get it. And, you know, if you did, in fact, have a wart, that's the trade-off when you treat a wart, is that you can get rid of the wart. You're probably not going to get rid of the infection of the virus, but you can get rid of the wart, which itself can be unsightly, but the treatment can cause problems. You know, you can get scarring, and all the treatments are different variations on the theme of tissue destruction, whether it's with a medication or a chemical or freezing or burning or laser, etc. It's all destroying the abnormal tissue. So that's the trade-off, getting something treated. And
yeah, I almost would have rather just stuck with the little bump, because it really wasn't noticeable.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you.
Vanity, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, in all of us that do surgery, and certainly this is the case for me, I spend a lot of my day telling people why they shouldn't have surgery, and it's because there can be consequences to treatments that we do. So, you know, you're making a very good point for the audience to just understand that sometimes the treatment can be worse than the disease.
Yeah, take my word for it from experience. If it's not that big of a problem, just kind of let it go.
Oof. Yeah. All right, good luck, George.
Yep, thanks.
All right, on the upside, two tickets for laser tissue destruction for you at Will Call this weekend.
I had a girl on Twitter ask about something going on with her son. Could I just throw
Yeah, go ahead.
She has a little boy, and he has a HydroSeal, and she wants to know what the difference is between a HydroSeal and a hernia.
Yeah. Yeah. In particularly the pediatric population, it's almost on a continuum. The testicle, actually, when you start developing as a fetus, starts out in your abdomen next to your kidneys. And the testicles descend.
Hence balls drop. Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. The testicles descend into the scrotum, and the kidneys ascend to just below the adrenal glands. And during this process, the testicle brings some of the peritoneal tissue, the abdominal cavity tissue, down with it. And in most, it obliterates, and it just becomes this potential space. It's almost like an uninflated balloon. But in some cases, the opening that the tissue goes through stays open, and it can fill with fluid. If it's widely open, it's a hernia, and bowel can slip through that opening and into the scrotum, and so that's what a hernia is.
When there's bowel in there, that's when it's a hernia. But when it's just liquid, it's just a HydroSeal.
And typically, it's just liquid, and the opening's either very narrow or absent. It just kind of fills up with fluid, like an uninflated balloon starting to fill up with fluid, and so they kind of exist on a continuum. So a hernia, you actually have to close the defect so it doesn't form again. With a HydroSeal, if you just remove the tissue, it usually goes away because there's not an opening connecting to the abdominal cavity.
Is it something that she should take care of? Like, it won't go away on its own. It's probably easier to do it when he's a little kid than later in life, right?
It sometimes can, yeah. Okay. And so it's, you know, is it symptomatic? Is it large? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you can keep an eye on these. I have guys who have HydroSeals that are the size of a bowling ball that don't treat them.
That seems
most
wrong.
Do.
Yeah,
most do. And I have a lot of guys that have them that are kind of the size of a baseball and don't treat
my
them. So most do. Most will treat it, but I have some guys that just live life that way. When it's your kid, you want your kid to be perfect. You don't want them to have any problem, and so they oftentimes get fixed.
Okay. Hey, Heather.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Good, what's up?
Good. I have a quick question for the doctor. So my husband is not, he doesn't really want to see a doctor for this potential problem that he has, but I think he should. Okay. He, like,
frequently wakes up in the middle of the night with pressure at the rectum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not me. Okay, so don't.
But pressure at the rectum is going to be at the Agora this weekend.
I'm always pressuring his rectum.
I love it. So anyhow, what's happening is I thought prostate right away. Mm-hmm. His doctor did a PSA test and said that, no, everything seems fine. Mm-hmm. But he does seem to stall or have a slow time starting urination. Mm-hmm. So is a PSA test the definitive test for prostate, or is there other tests that should go along with that?
I mean, that's an excellent question. The answer is not definitive. It's the best test that we have. But the funny thing is, he's having a lot of symptoms of enlargement of the prostate, and prostate cancer and enlargement of the prostate are two totally different phenomena. So he probably has a very enlarged prostate that's causing, the prostate sits right on top of the rectum, so it can cause rectal pressure, it can cause problems with urination. So there are things that can potentially be done about that. There are medications that can help him empty. There are medications that can even shrink his prostate over time. There are surgical interventions. So the question then becomes, how much is it bothering him?
Enough that it wakes him up, you know, in the middle of the night sometimes. But could medications cause the enlarged prostate? And also, shouldn't that be found on a colonoscopy?
Colonoscopy doesn't look at the prostate. It's not a good test for the prostate. So that's not going to help very. That's not going to help very much.
Are you sure it's not a frisky ghost?
The question always in these situations always becomes, how much is it bothering him? So I have guys that'll wake up 5 or 6 times a night. Can you imagine going through life without being able to get a full night's sleep? It's awful. It's
miserable, huh?
But if it's one time a night, that's one time a night, I'm probably not going to be able to help him very much. But 5 or 6 times a night, that's a kind of a miserable existence.
Okay. Does he continue to see the family doctor, a proctologist, a urologist? Who do you recommend?
Not who, but
what kind of doctor?
The primary physician can manage some of the more basic problems, and they're gonna be well aware when they need to move somebody on to specialist care. So this can oftentimes be managed by the regular medical doctor. But if he's too miserable, he's getting nowhere that route, we can always see a urologist.
Do you think hemorrhoids could be an issue? Would they cause that kind
of... It could, pressure? But hemorrhoids shouldn't affect his urinary flow. So hemorrhoids can cause that, can cause the rectal pressure, discomfort, et cetera, but they wouldn't cause urinary problems.
You know, thank you for the answer. And by the way, really quick comment. I had heard that apple cider vinegar on a cotton ball rubbed onto hemorrhoids seems to shrink them, external hemorrhoids. Have you heard of that?
I have patients ask me about apple cider vinegar all the time.
It's supposed to be some new cure-all. Everybody's got it in their cupboard for
cold,
something.
You're supposed to take it. Yeah. You can do anything.
Hemorrhoids.
For the record, I'm not recommending it for anything. And not that I don't think it causes any harm, but,
okay. If you want to dab your hemorrhoids in vinegar, who are we to stop you, right?
Who doesn't like a pickled hemorrhoid? Oh.
Worst salad dressing of all time.
Pickled hemorrhoid?
Thank you.
You love pickled stuff.
Yeah. Not hemorrhoids.
They look like pickled eggs.
False. I hear more about apple cider vinegar, though. Everybody asks me about it.
He's like, shut up with the apple cider vinegar.
It's the first thing that comes up when you Google anything.
Yeah, cancer, mm-hmm. Heart disease. Yeah, exactly.
Alan, 2 days ago, I did anal with my girlfriend. Yesterday morning, I woke up and I have a rash on the head of my penis. You know any idea what that could be? Is that in your wheelhouse? Yeah. That could be coincidental, right?
I mean, there are a lot of things that... First of all, contrary to popular belief, you can get STDs or STIs or whatever you want to call them through anal intercourse.
Yeah.
You know, just like, anything, oral, anal, vaginal, they all can transmit.
The whole smorgasbord.
They can all transmit sexually transmitted diseases. A couple of days is probably, on the earlier side to get the symptoms of most sexually transmitted diseases, but it's certainly possible.
Sounds like it's a little rough.
Yeah, I mean, you can get openings in the skin, and there are a lot of bacteria in the rectum, so it could just be the normal flora and fauna of the rectum.
That's a nice way to put it, the flora and fauna of the rectum. You've got tiny animals up there, it might be a good time to check them out.
There are a lot of things living there and that could, get into a cut or, and cause some inflammation, so, and it could just be the nature of the intercourse itself. But
fortunately for you, Texter, it's way overrated. Hey, Russell.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Russell?
Doctor, I've got prostate cancer. I'm getting radiation treatment.
I got a Lupron shot.
Yes.
Back in December, and I'm just looking for maybe a buildup of confidence that once all this is over with, that my sex life is going to go back to what it was.
One of the challenges with that treatment, he probably has a, you probably have a high risk prostate cancer, would be my guess. That's why you're getting the combination of Lupron and radiation therapy. Lupron is a drug that causes your testosterone levels to go very low. The way we used to do it was to remove the testicles. And that was not very popular.
Game of Thrones style.
I know, right?
And that was not very popular. Still, we still do it. We still have some patients that, that do that, and it's a very good way to do it. But now what we do is this is a form of chemical castration, so to speak. It causes you to stop producing the hormone without removing the testicles. When you do that, it sensitizes high-risk prostate cancer radiation treatment. So my guess is that you have a high-risk prostate cancer. So the question is just, has the disease already escaped from the prostate or not? And only time's going to tell.
Okay. Again, you know, cancer's horrible, but it seems like everybody else that calls the show has something else that I'd rather not have.
Right.
Right. He's saying you'd rather have cancer than
fibrosis.
Yeah, kind of weird. But
T-shirt.
What's the, you know, the chance? I'm just getting, you know, the beam radiation.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I've heard, you know, some numbers about getting back to, quote, normal. What's your thought?
Well, you're going to have to be on hormonal therapy for a period of time. It's usually 3 to 6 months beforehand and then 2 to 3 years afterwards. Now, after you've, you know, after you go off the treatment, it'll take a little while to ramp up, but your testosterone levels should eventually, it doesn't in everybody, but should eventually start to come back up and return libido and all the problems that you get with low testosterone levels. So, you know, time will tell, but if you have a high-risk prostate cancer, this is a serious life and death situation. And the primary goal of any treatment you're gonna have is gonna be increasing your life expectancy, and you have to be on the hormonal therapy. There are clinical trials, randomized trials that show that being on or off the therapy is there's a statistically significant improvement in survival if you're on the hormonal therapy. So I strongly recommend you continue it.
Okay. I just, it's sad that my sexual activity is dropping below Bill's. And
what does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm playing Russell off, Bill. Yeah, what is that? What is he talking about?
Clearly, he's not heard of the Willoughby Gazebo.
Hey, Bob.
I don't need to say anything.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout out to Dr. Berlin and thank him because he has been seeing my father-in-law for bladder cancer, and he really put a lot of feelings and emotions to rest with his expertise, and I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
That's great. It's another life saved. It's another person, their fears put to rest through the tireless efforts of one Dr. Ryan underscore Berglund on Twitter. Your father-in-law's doing okay, Bob?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
There's a couple speed bumps, but...
I'm sure there's a topical cream that can handle that.
Well, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, of course.
But, we listen to the Dr. Berlin show once a month, and you know, we recommended it because my in-laws had never heard of it, and they got in to see him and were totally amazed by him.
Look at that! You're amazing. Oh, and he's all svelte too, Bob. That's the best part. All right, good. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the call. Dr. Berglund, how would people get a hold of you or any of your colleagues over at the Cleveland Clinic?
Yes. 1-800-CCF-CARE is the phone number. 216-444-2200.
We'll end on a high note.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you.
Hey.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks.
Although
for
we're
me.
Seeing less and less of you. withering away.
Yeah.
And he's Ryan underscore Berglund on Twitter, too. He's crazy busy over there on Twitter. All right. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you, brother.
Is it red? Does it itch? Does it hurt like a bitch? Is it red? Is it red? Is it red?